after somehow triggering pagers, radios, mobile phones, and solar panels to indiscriminately explode in public places within Lebanon, more innocent lives have been cut short by the terrorist state of Israel.
This is a heinous act of terrorism. We understand perfectly well that with such actions they are trying to bring the region to a global confrontation, to strike children, civilians, women, in order to stir up public sentiment and set the Middle East on fire so that it's all in flames. But there is another important point. This is a terrorist attack that obviously could not have been carried out by a suicidal loner or just a suicide bomber or someone in a state of complete madness. This is a terrorist attack planned with a cool hand, an extensively planned one. All the signs are there of an international terrorist attack, because it is obvious that in order to gather such a large amount of equipment, it had to be brought in crossing several borders. Obviously, there is an international trail in this, and it should be investigated accordingly. Now the reaction of the West should be indicative. If the West remains silent and, as always, does not insist on an investigation, does not talk about human rights, does not repeat its rhetoric of many years, which they have used in similar cases when terrorist acts were committed on their territory, then this will be proof of their direct engagement.
While the majority of the world cries out for an end to this maniacal bloodshed, in America, the political left, the religious right, and the brainwashed masses are all in. It seems like Americans just can't get enough war. As Ukraine attacks deep in Russia, Israel has now begun heavy bombing in Lebanon, which signals the beginning of something much bigger.
Is this the beginning of a major regional confrontation between Lebanon and its allies and Israel?
I think so. The Israelis have said that the reason they initiated this cyber attack, probably one of the largest in history, was because the Arabs were beginning to catch on. In other words, people in Hezbollah and in Lebanon and probably the Iranians had begun to figure out, or at least detect, that something like this could happen. And so they felt that they had to initiate it quickly in order to derive some benefit from it. I think the issue right now is not whether or not we're going to support them. We've made it very clear that if they go into Lebanon and this war widens, that we will support them. So I don't think there's much question there. The problem is, how long can we keep all the ships at sea? And I think we're going to see this offensive in the Lebanon start fairly quickly now, because we're telling Mr. Netanyahu, we can't sit around waiting for you to do something. So if you're going to do something, you'd better do it quickly, because we can't be out here much longer. But no, we're going to support the Israelis. There's no question about that. And I think they all know that if they back away from their original goals, which is to essentially eliminate the Arab populations in the West Bank and Gaza, that's really where they want to go, and now in southern Lebanon, that they're going to have to accept something else. So I think the Israeli government, the Israeli people, the Israeli Defense Force, everyone is in the same boat. It's either we win or we go down with the ship, which is a terrible position to be in. And no one in Washington seems to be interested in helping them out. I mean, we think we're helping them by giving them anything they want. In fact, we've put them on a road to suicide, in my judgment.
Reporting for InfoWars, this is Greg Reese.
That is the latest from Greg Reese, the latest Reese report, which can be found at InfoWars.com and band.video. We are coming to you live this Monday morning from the InfoWars headquarters here in Central Texas. Big week this week. Well, a lot of stuff going on, a lot of videos to show you over the weekend. Alex Jones, somehow, and I don't know how he does it, he ran into Francis Collins, one of the main architects of the COVID debacle, in the airport. I go to the airport all the time. I'm always scanning face. I never see anybody. Alex Jones just, like, magnetizes and finds his enemies at airports. I don't know how he does it, but the videos are always bombshell. We'll show you that on the other side of your Daily Dispatch. Get into all of the news of the world as well as your phone calls this episode. Stay with us.
Nitric Boost. Turmeric 95. High quality. CBD gummies. It's all available at InfoWarsStore.com via the InfoWars MD line. Now, this is a private label of one of the top supplement makers in the country of high-end quality at reasonable prices. They let us private label their products. That's why you've already heard of Body's Ultimate Formula. Well, we got the 95% curcuminoid from them. This is just their brand of that. And so it is available under Turmeric 95. That's the name. So we're sold out of Bodies, but we have Turmeric 95 that is, again, the same concentrated turmeric. Same thing with Nitric Boost. Nitric Boost came from this company. They even let us use their name. It's now our best seller. We sold out of our version. Their version has a white bottle. It's the exact same thing. You get it at InfoWarsStore.com. So check out InfoWars MD at InfoWarsStore.com.
It's Monday, September 23rd, in the year of our Lord, 2024. And you're listening to The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at band.video.
I think it's time to blow this thing, get everybody and stuff together. Okay, 3, 2, 1, let's jam.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The American Journal. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, coming to you live this Monday morning from Austin, Texas. Now, I have a bunch of videos, I have a bunch of stories to get to. But I did happen to just open up X, and I see under the trending explore tab, monkeys save girl from assault in Uttar Pradesh. So, I think clear the news desk, we've got our top story of the day. Monkeys save girl from assault in Uttar Pradesh. Yes, folks, nature itself is rising up to stop what's happening. It's a different clip. It's a different video we'll go to later. But, yeah, apparently the monkey's helping out the ladies in Uttar Pradesh. All right, we actually have a lot of very serious news, very real news to get to. We're going to go to your calls today as well. Lots of videos to show you from over the weekend. And well, another day, another massive leap towards World War III. We'll get into all of it. And, like I said, your phone calls later today. But we'll begin today, as we do every day, with our Daily Dispatch. All right, here it is, folks, your Daily Dispatch. For Monday, the 23rd of September, 2024, Lebanon says 100 people killed by Israeli strikes. Israeli military said it had hit 300 targets as it pursued Hezbollah militants and amid stepped-up raids of its northern neighbor. Lebanon's health ministry said intensifying Israeli airstrikes killed more than 100 people and wounded another 400 on Monday during what appeared to be the start of a broad military campaign. Israel's military said it hit 300 targets as it pursued Hezbollah militants. The IDF will engage in extensive, precise strikes against terror targets which have embedded widely throughout Lebanon, spokesman Rear Admiral Daniel Hagari said in a statement. The warning is the first of its kind issued by IDF in Lebanon, an Israeli military official told NBC News. This is the evacuation orders as the IDF warned civilians in southern Lebanon to move away from Hezbollah positions. Yeah, we'll show you some videos from this. We'll get more into what we have long been predicting, the outright conflict between Lebanon and Israel seems to be taking form now. Again, we've laid it out a million times. It's a terrible decision. Israel's own military doctrine says that they cannot defeat Hezbollah in an invasion or, well, any direct conflict, really. But they don't have to. They're not trying to. What they're doing is provoking Hezbollah into a major response to bring the U.S. into the war in a very real way. So we could be on the precipice here, folks. About to go over the edge into the abyss. Meanwhile, totalitarian playbook, the UN is voting on the Pact for the Future, pushing totalitarian agenda and threatening sovereignty with digital controls and radical climate mandates. World leaders at the United Nations summit have officially adopted the so-called Pact for the Future, a sweeping agreement that purportedly aims to address the world's most pressing issues, some of which don't exist, others which they themselves fabricated. We'll get back into this. Again, a little bit later, the pact, hailed by UN Secretary General as a vision of the future, includes initiatives like Global Digital Compact and the Declaration for Future Generations. But for many, this reads more like a manifesto for totalitarian governance than a collaborative effort to improve international cooperation. The grandiose pact is being marketed as a solution for the problems of tomorrow, but critics are rightfully sounding alarms over its deeply troubling implications. Again, we'll get back to that. We'll get back to that. But yes, they're creating a one-world global government of unelected bureaucrats to oppress you. It's all coming to fruition, folks, just like the war against Russia, blossoming into full-fledged World War III. Russia will be forced to use tactical nuclear weapons against NATO, says former Putin advisor in a new interview. This story from Infowars.com. Due to continued Western military support, Russia will be forced to use tactical nuclear weapons, said political analyst Sergei Markov, a former advisor to Vladimir Putin, in an interview with Times Radio. Markov expressed concern about the role of the West in the Ukraine-Russia conflict, which, according to him, has increased the tension that nuclear weapons will invariably be used. They may have already. They may have already been used. We'll talk a little bit about that later. Meanwhile, here in America, irony upon irony, hypocrisy upon hypocrisy, Biden-Harris admin warns Americans do not travel to Haiti due to risk of kidnapping, sexual assault, and murder. United States Department of State has issued a level 4 do not travel advisory for Haiti due to widespread crime, including kidnapping, sexual assault, murder, and ransom demands. The good news about this is that the crime, the rape, the murder, the sexual assault, the ransom, that's all caused by the dirt in Haiti. That's the island of Haiti that's doing that. And the instant that you take the Haitians out of Haiti and drop them off in Biloxi, Mississippi, or Springfield, Ohio, all of that is gone. It's actually they're perfect American citizens. It's not the people, folks. It's the magical land that they live on. Or it's the people, and we're bringing them all here. So perhaps a better way to phrase this would be a Biden-Harris admin tells Americans, don't travel to Haiti, we'll bring them to you. Don't go out of your way. Don't travel to some other country. We'll just bring that country to your neighborhood, and then we'll call you racist if you don't like it. So we'll get back into that. But it would be like dizzying if the Democrats made even just the slightest effort to justify their varied beliefs, let's just say. But they don't. So it's with no irony whatsoever and no acknowledgement whatsoever that they issue a travel warning not to go to the place where they are currently mass importing people from. There's no sense of shame in any of the madness the Democrats are engaged in. Finally, we have this. Speaker Johnson planning to abandon SAVE Act and fund government to December. The SAVE Act would mandate proof of citizenship to register as a voter in federal elections. Donald Trump has supported the bill and urged Republicans in the House and Senate to refuse to vote on government funding unless absolute assurances on election security can be obtained. The bill was put before a scheduled vote on Wednesday, but it was voted down 220 to 202. 14 Republicans joined the Democrats in voting against it. Now, according to sources, Speaker Johnson is planning to move ahead with the resolution to fund the government into December without any measures to address election integrity, election security. Republicans had previously committed themselves to not passing any short-term resolutions to fund the government. But who cares, right? I mean, who really cares? It's just our elections. It's just the fate of our nation in the balance. So sure, remove that out. Continue to fund all of the oppressive agencies destroying our way of life and our country itself. Incredible stuff. So that's your Daily Dispatch. It's all crazy. It's all crazy and only gets crazier as we delve into the details of some of this stuff. It's one of those things with conspiracy theories where you think in like a normal world, you'd hear something that's like crazy and you think, okay, wait, I got to learn more about this. Then you would go learn more and sort of the crazy thing that you heard at first would start to make more sense. Okay, well, maybe it wasn't that crazy. It was sort of the opposite here. You hear something that's kind of crazy in the headlines now, you go look into it And it's like, wow, it's so much worse than I could have ever possibly imagined. I mean, they're starting World War III. They're starting World War III, folks. And they're doing it on two different fronts simultaneously. I can't help but, you know, I've said this a million times, but just project into the future, be able to look back, and just think 100 years now, people are going to be looking. I mean, if humanity survives 100 years, I don't know if that might be pushing it. But if there's like a civilization and libraries and historians in 100 years from now, they'll be looking back and going, wow, how did nobody see what was coming? Just like how we look back into World War I and we think, really, was there nobody that could put their foot down? Was there nobody that could foresee the senseless murder that they were about to be engaged in with millions, literally millions of people dying over a couple miles of dirt? Just pointless, brutal meat grinder. And you see the run up to this, looking back in history, and you go, wow, was there nobody that could have seen this coming? And if they did see it coming, was there, it's like there's any, you'd pay any price to avoid that. You would do anything. You would say, you know what, maybe it's not so big. Maybe it's not that big of a deal. Belgium got their border stomped over. Maybe that's a small price to pay compared to the millions upon millions, the entire generations of men lost to that pointless conflict. And I just have the distinct feeling that we're going to be looking back in 100 years at today, at where we are right now in this moment, going, you know, we could have avoided that. We could have not let that spiral out of control. And it sort of, it gives you a, it actually should give you a better understanding of things like World War I and World War II. When you look at the senseless violence, when you look at the madness that the whole world seemed to be engaged in, like, how did everybody go crazy? You realize, like, oh, not everybody was crazy. The people at the top did it on purpose. The people who were orchestrating this whole thing manipulated everybody into going along with their genocidal madness, just like today. Just like today, people either don't understand, have no concept, no view whatsoever as to the danger that the whole world is being put in, and the people arguing against it, the people desperately trying to inject some sanity back into the conversation are ruthlessly shut down and demonized. And so we're just doing it again. We just can't learn our lesson, apparently. And it is wild. It is indescribable being in this position now, watching it happen, watching it unfold, watching a slow motion car crash that we could avoid at any moment, but the people driving us are suicidal and want to bring us all down with them. Speaking of the genocidal, suicidal slash homicidal slash genocidal programs of our elite, Alex Jones is on his way to, I believe, Reading, Pennsylvania, right, to do a live show with Tucker Carlson. And he just so happened to run into one Dr. Francis Collins, one of the architects of the COVID disaster. I don't know what to call it at this point. Let's go now to clip number one. Here's Alex Jones in the airport, like only he does, running into not Alex Jones' enemies, but the enemies of humanity, and giving them an earful. Let's watch.
We're good. 20 plus million people dead from those shots.
We just confronted the former head of the NIH, Francis Collins. He's one of the villains with Fauci and the entire Wuhan operation and the cover-up of the origin and the poison shot. Now, he sits backpedaled some, but that doesn't matter, ladies and gentlemen. He needs to be held responsible. So Fauci and Bill Gates are the very worst. He's down here part of the way, and he started to come public and admit that this was wrong, but they did. The lockdowns, the poison shots, all of it. And when I said to him, you're about to see it, 20-plus million dead, he nodded his head. So maybe he has a soul. Maybe he's going to go public. Good. Redeem yourself. Current state's evidence, like Redfield and others have started to do, and come all the way out, because the globalist operation for depopulation and what these shots do, turning off the immune system, is all public, and it's not going away, and it's destroying faith in the system and in the medical system, and it's going to bring the system down. So those of you in the system need to join with the people, and you need to come out for Nuremberg 2 and be witnesses against those that will be held responsible. And you know punishment for crimes against humanity. You know what that is from Nuremberg with the Nazis. All right, here is this confrontation.
How you doing? We're good. 20 plus million people dead from those shots. Well, the truth's come out about you and Fauci. How's it feel to kill more people than Hitler?
You're writing some folk songs about it?
Go ahead.
You're writing some folk songs?
You'll never get away with what you did, your bioweapon. You're in a lot of trouble. Nuremberg 2 is coming.
You get a special. Good. We'll be exposing that guy. All of them are going to prison, Nuremberg too. They can run, but they can't hide. The truth will get them. Mass murderers.
Hello, New York.
How was your brother? Former head of the NIH came up with poison shots, everything right there.
Sure.
I know we have a few seconds, so I hit him as quick as possible.
Yeah.
So again, I don't know how he does it. I don't know what this guy. He's running into Bernie Sanders. He runs into everybody in the airport. I never get to run in to my enemies and confront them, the enemies of humanity. That is, of course, on Alex Jones's Twitter account. Alex Jones confronts former NIH director Francis Collins over crimes against humanity. How many views does that have? I mean, millions upon millions. Thought maybe I was seeing yesterday, I had like 20 million views or something. A return to X has been glorious, to say the least. And the tide is turning. The tide is slowly but surely turning. And it's thanks to things like that. Alex Jones going out and confronting, blasting this into the real world, taking it off of X, off of the comment sections, off of Rumble or the radio or television, and taking it into real life. And that, of course, is what they fear most about Alex Jones, is the fact that we don't just talk the talk. We walk the walk here at InfoWars and are not afraid to go out and take this conversation IRL. Now, with that, I want to go to another video. I may have talked a little too long here. We might not be able to make it to the end, but it is a must-watch video. That's what it's titled. This is a must-watch video. I'm not sure if we've been able to pull that in, guys. Might have to save that for the next one. But it's just one of a collection of videos I have for today's show of TikTokers, random people. And I love this because, sure, we could cover the same stuff, but you got to know it's not just us, right? You got to know that it's not just InfoWars. It's not just us here in this building that are talking about this. I don't want to use the – I was going to say our message has metastasized. Maybe that's not the right way to phrase it. Since we're not the cancer, we're not the parasitical cancer destroying the country, so metastasizing might not be. But we've reached critical mass. And I really can't help but think about just the classic lefty phrase that's always invoked with, you know, far-left socialist people. But it's actually more true for us. You know, they tried to bury us. It turned out we were seeds. They've tried to destroy InfoWars and Alex Jones, and it turns out that in their attempted destruction, we have not just risen phoenix-like from the ashes, but we've spawned a whole legion of patriots around the country and around the world. And look, something's got to be done. I know, like, Americans are so polite in general. Like, they don't think it's right to, like, be kind of rude to a guy in the airport.
Oh, well, he's just trying. You're really going to bother this guy? He's just trying to get on his plane.
Well, he's a mass murderer, so he's been involved in a campaign of mass murder. He got up on TV and got to lie to your face, and you were punished if you showed proof that he was lying. It's time to stop feeling sorry for our enemies. If it was up to them, you would be dead, your children would be in cages, and they would think it's funny. So some people are going to have to be made a little bit uncomfortable in the pursuit of justice. It should really just be the beginning. It should be the beginning. I want to go now to clip number 5 here. This is a video, a compilation that was posted by Elon Musk. Actually, I'm not sure who posted it originally. I think Concerned Citizen posted it originally, but it was reposted by Elon Musk. The very simple, cogent message, do not trust the mainstream media. Just a little compilation of just a tiny, minuscule smattering of the lies that we had to live through for the 4 years of Donald Trump, and hopefully seeing this type of blatant manipulation exposed could still wake people up. Let's watch.
CNN edited a video to make it appear as though Trump impatiently dumped a box of fish food into the water in Japan. The full video showed Trump had simply followed the lead of Japan's prime minister. In June 2017, NBC News reported that Russian President Putin said he had compromising information about Trump. Actually, Putin said the opposite.
Do you have something damaging on our president?
Well, this is just another load of nonsense. Where would we get this information?
The New York Times and CNN shared a story with photos of immigrant children in cages. It turns out the photos were from 2014, during the Obama administration. In November 2019, Newsweek falsely reported that President Trump was spending Thanksgiving golfing in Florida. He was actually in Afghanistan serving dinner to U.S. troops.
Good morning.
CBS aired a story in March of 2020, supposedly showing a New York hospital crowded with patients.
It's all hands on deck in America's hospitals.
It was actually filed tape from Italy. A week later, CBS News mistakenly used the Italy video again. In May, the BBC and The Guardian reported because Trump wasn't wearing headsets, he didn't bother to listen to the translation of a speech by Italy's prime minister.
Per lo sviluppo dell'Africa.
But Trump was wearing dinner to U.S. troops. CBS aired a story in March of 2020, supposedly showing a New York hospital crowded with patients.
It looks like it got looped there somehow by accident. But
it was actually filed.
Again, just a tiny little taste of just some of the manipulation that Americans were subjected to. And look, it's not about the individual lies. It's about this constant deluge of non-existent scandals. And the fact is, and we can do this live for you on the other side of the commercial break, where you just go and just find any date from the entire President Trump administration, and just find there's always about 3 to 4 simultaneous scandals going on, totally fabricated, totally made from nothing, totally baseless. You know, one constant would be the Russian, Russiagate lie that just was continually there. And so every day people were just being bombarded with these videos, every one of which you just saw that was treated as like a giant issue, a huge geopolitical faux pas that was a proof of Trump's insanity or that he was unfit to serve. And so you could show somebody that video, a leftist who has spent 4 years just absorbing this stuff uncritically. You know what they would say? They'd go, well, sure, you can show me a couple. That's a couple examples. But every day I heard what a bad guy this was. I mean, they heard thousands upon thousands of times what a bad guy he was. You can't systematically go through and debunk every single one. They don't care.
Folks, Nerve Renew is in stock at InfoWarsStore.com, and this supplement is amazing for a number of different reasons. First of all, we know that prescription opioids and pain relievers end up making us feel groggy, cloudy of mind, and frankly, addicted after time. But with Nerve Renew, we have key natural ingredients. It's a nerve support formula designed specifically for peripheral neuropathy and nerve pain relief. So if you need help relieving your aches and pains and inflammation and maybe even some nerve damage that you have from an injury or just working with your hands for years and years, Nerve Renew is the way to go. So by visiting InfoWarsStore.com and getting Nerve Renew under the InfoWars MD tab at the top of the website, not only are you investing in your own health, relieving your own pain in a natural, healthy, and safe way, but you're keeping InfoWars on the air. We know that InfoWars is under attack. Alex Jones is under attack. Freedom of speech is under attack. But you can fight to keep InfoWars on the air. So please go to InfoWarsStore.com right now and get Nerve Renew under the InfoWars MD tab at the top.
The InfoWars system is very simple. We tell you the truth about what's going on in the world, and we ask that you support us in exchange. If we don't tell you the truth, you probably won't support us. That's our only incentive. All we have is you, the InfoWars audience. And just like our information has to be good, or else we can't expect your support, well, our products have to be good, or we can't expect you to be returning customers. And everybody knows some of the bombshell, incredible, iconic supplements at InfoWarsStore.com. But what some InfoWars audience members don't know about is the InfoWars MD line of supplements. This is our premium line of supplements, and there's something for everybody here. This is the newest line of supplements from InfoWars, designed to boost vitality and enhance overall well-being, available exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. Whether you're looking to support immune health, improve cognitive function, or increase energy levels, our meticulously crafted formulations cater to your diverse needs. Only at InfoWarsStore.com.
All right, folks, Nitric Boost is back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com. Now, this supplement is amazing for several reasons. First of all, Vitality Enhancement is a great supplement to add to your routine if you do things like work out, or if you're an athlete, or if you simply want increased vitality throughout the day. The other reason this product is absolutely amazing is because Nitric Boost can help with muscle recovery. Now, we know that muscle recovery is an imperative part of muscle growth, and that this supplement being added to your routine can help you reach your goals in the gym with that recovery. Finally, cardiovascular health is a major factor when it comes to Nitric Boost. We know that heart disease is a major cause of death in the United States of America. Obviously, we've heard tons of reports over the last several years, especially of heart problems, myocarditis, and things like that. We know that Nitric Boost is a way to support your heart health. Check out InfoWarsStore.com today and get your bottle of Nitric Boost now.
Supplements are the second fastest growing industry in America over the last few decades. AI's now outstripped it. And that's because people continue to learn how amazing the compounds are that Mother Nature gives us. Now, ladies and gentlemen, not all supplements are created equal. InfoWars MD line, more than 15 products, are all the very best you're going to find at extremely low prices. Take our CBD oil, gummies, and 1,000 milligram tincture. We private label it from a top company. They sell it retail for double what we sell it for. Does that give you an idea how amazing these products are and how low the prices are? Just get InfoWars MD CBD, test it out, see how great it is, and then I know you're going to want the other products, like our ashwagandha, like our super green food, like our 95% curcuminoid, turmeric 95. They're all available under the InfoWars MD line at InfoWarsStore.com. Thank you for your support. This keeps us on air. Plus, these are game-changing products. Get yours today.
InfoWars.com is tomorrow's news today.
The American Journal with Chase Geyser, your compass to the nation's crossroads on InfoWars.
Folks, this is Harrison Smith hosting American Journal for you. I got a lot of videos to show you out of Lebanon as a massive bombing campaign has devastated that country. And of course, that's just going to be the beginning. It looks like the gloves are coming off between Lebanon and Israel, something we've been talking about and predicting for a very, very long time. We'll take your calls on this a little bit later. The numbers are uncertain at this point. I'm seeing a lot of different reports. 182 seems to be a number that the Lebanese health ministry is announcing, 182 dead from the airstrikes. Lebanon's health ministry says intensifying Israeli airstrikes killed more than 100 people and wounded another 400 on Monday during what appeared to be the start of a broad military campaign. Israel's military said it had hit 300 targets as it pursued Hezbollah militants amid stepped-up raids of its northern neighbor. The Israeli Defense Forces earlier warned civilians in southern Lebanon to move away from Hezbollah positions. You know, I don't even know what to say at this point, because they pretty much totally failed in Gaza. I don't just want to repeat myself over and over, because we've covered this so many times, but Gaza is like the lowest level of operator in this area, right? You've got Hezbollah, you've got the Syrian army, you've got Iran. Like, all of these are tiers and tiers above where Gaza is. Now, they totally failed to achieve military objectives in Gaza. They have not recovered the hostages. They have not put Hamas out of commission. And we told you from the very beginning that was never even really a possibility because of the just tactical reality on the ground. That they have extensive, massive tunnel networks, 60 plus feet under the ground, totally immune from airstrikes. And yet Israel's only viable weapon are airstrikes. Okay, so Israel's only method of attack cannot, by definition, actually do much damage to the infrastructure of their enemies. So the only option then is to actually go into the tunnels, which Israel doesn't have the manpower to do. So they're using robot dogs and they're just carpet bombing everything. They're just using a campaign of terror to try to force Hamas to capitulate. But there's basically nowhere in Gaza that is free of Hamas now. They're still getting attacked in the north of Gaza as they shore up their positions on the south. And yet Gaza is a totally surrounded, totally controlled, totally surveilled prison population. Compare that to Lebanon, with its borders with Syria, with its access fairly directly to Iran, to its massive coast, to the huge mountains that cover the entire country. The Hezbollah tunnel systems just make the Gaza tunnels pale in comparison. We'll show you videos from some of that. And one of the other things about the tactical or strategic advantage of Hezbollah is that they don't really have permanent missile launching sites. And you can see in all the videos that we show you of Hezbollah themselves, they pop out of the ground somewhere with a truck carrying a missile launcher, or several trucks. They drive somewhere, they set up, they launch missiles. By the time Israel realizes they're being attacked, the missiles have been launched and the trucks are moving again. So when the IDF or when Israel says they've attacked Hezbollah positions, it doesn't even really make sense, to be honest with you. Because practically all of their operations are mobile. And if they're not mobile, then they're deep underground, immune to the munitions that Israel can actually use. So let's just tell you what this is for real, because it should be obvious by this point. Israel has put itself in a situation where it has to do or die, basically, at this point. They cannot accept surrender at this point. So they kind of have to escalate, and they have to ensure that America is their guard dog to defend them against any repercussions to their actions. Their ultimate goal is massive expansion of the land of Israel, of annexing by force areas currently Palestine or Lebanon that they have depopulated. and specifically with Hezbollah and Lebanon, they are attempting to provoke Hezbollah into a massive response that puts Israel on the back foot, that puts them in a existential position in which America would step in and get involved in a real way, since that's the only possible way that Israel comes out on top of all of this, is to have us do their fighting for them. We can just look at some of the videos of the bombings, and we can just roll through these guys, clip 12 or clip 13. We'll go clip 12 in a second, clip 13, clip 14, and you can just see some of the absolutely massive destruction. Clip number 9, clip number 8. We can just roll these, and we can leave the audio up a little bit, just get an idea of the sound of destruction that we're experiencing, or that they're experiencing there in Lebanon. But as you can see, just unimaginably massive explosions taking place there. A lot of people suggesting this could be a tactical nuke of some sort. What these things are, they are absolutely huge. And of course, you hear the screaming of the little girls that I'm sure are Hezbollah. Just massive airstrikes hit this entire country. Yeah, and it just goes on and on and on, and it's not going to stop anytime soon. But don't worry, folks. The IDF, Israel, assures us that these attacks are highly precise, going after just the terrorists, okay? And you know, I know it's kind of circular reasoning, but stick with me here. Israel's only attacking terrorists, so if you get hit by an Israeli bomb, you're a terrorist, okay? That's how it works. All right, so sure. So far, the people that have died from the airstrikes have mostly been women and children, as is the case in Gaza. But they're actually terrorists. How do you know? Because they got bombed by Israel. So if you get bombed by Israel, you are a terrorist. And that's the way it works. And that is the definition of terrorist these days. That's all that really means. But we can go now to clip number 12, where the IDF explains to us why, you know, it's necessary for them to carpet bomb civilian areas, because Hezbollah has gigantic missiles in all of their living rooms. So let's watch clip number 12. This is from the IDF. So here you see, it looks like a normal Lebanese village, but actually, see, there's gigantic missiles in every room, actually. Actually, every house in Lebanon has a gigantic missile launcher in the garage. Okay? Just so we're clear. Yeah. It looks like an innocent building somewhere. No, it's got a supersonic missile. Trust us, for sure. Don't worry about the gigantic tunnel systems. Don't worry about the mobile launching sites. Actually, they're all just in apartment buildings in Beirut that need to get bombed. So yeah, don't act like it's ridiculous or anything. They showed you the graphic, okay? They showed you the graphic of all of the buildings, and they highlighted in red how every building has multiple missiles caked into the walls. Yeah, they're just going to do to Lebanon what they did to Gaza. They're just going to terrorize it, bomb the hell out of it. It's going to make Gaza look like a tea party because the number of people that are going to be subjected to this. And, of course, America has given them the green light to do this, and this follows their absolutely outrageous and insane and still, like, not discussed enough attack about where they blew up pagers and solar panels and other small devices, walkie-talkies and the like. through a cyber attack. Now, we will take your calls on this and where you think this goes. But it's not going to be good. It is not going to be good one way or another. President Joe Biden also warned the violence could escalate. "We're going to do everything we can to keep a wider war from breaking out," he told reporters Sunday. So rest easy, folks. Joe Biden's crack team of diplomats is working tirelessly on the issue. And sure, they have just utterly failed to even minutely restrain Israel for the nearly year that the conflict in Gaza has been going on. Every month or so, Anthony Blinken or any of the other deep state goblins, traitorous satanic warmongers, go over there with a stated design of, "We are going to rein in Israel, or we're going to get a ceasefire, or we're going to bring peace to the region." And every time there is a bigger attack than ever before, it gets even more destructive and chaotic and escalatory. And then we give them a couple $1 billion in weaponry and promise to come back next month and do it all over again. Don't worry. The same team that assured us that prevention of a wider war in Ukraine was their top priority before that conflict broke out, they're on the ball, folks. Biden's comments came as the State Department issued a warning for Americans to leave Lebanon while commercial options still remain available. Israel and Iran-backed Hezbollah have been trading rocket fire since October 7th terrorist attack and ensuring Israeli bombardment of Gaza. Many experts agree that neither Israel nor Iran wants a full-blown direct conflict, but they fear that escalating strikes may lead to one erupting. Yeah. You know, like, Israel does not want a full-blown direct conflict, but they are starting one. So it's a little confusing. Israel has evacuated around 60,000 people from more than 40 northern communities during the conflict. In Lebanon, over 100,000 people have been displaced, according to data from the International Organization for Migration. Hagari said Hezbollah has been preparing to strike Israel, which followed the heavy exchange of fire over the border between Israel and the group over the weekend. The video statement, which showed a map of towns and villages mostly towards the south of Lebanon, which he said Hezbollah is used to militarize civilian infrastructure. Okay, so they're going to bomb civilian infrastructure, is what they're saying. They probably militarized the drinking water, too, if I had to guess. The conflict reached a new height last week when pagers and walkie-talkies belonging to Hezbollah members exploded in a stunning Israeli operation. Yeah, and also other pagers and walkie-talkies. Also just ones that doctors and nurses carry, too. No, they set off thousands of unaimed, unspecific hand grenades across the entire nation in an act of outrageous terror. An airstrike on Friday killed at least 45 people in the densely populated suburb of Beirut, including Hezbollah's senior members as well as dozens of civilians. Quote, "We have entered a new phase, the title of which is the open-ended battle of reckoning," Hezbollah Deputy Chief Naim Qassem told mourners Sunday at the funeral of one of its commanders killed in the strike. The militia responded with its own round of attacks, with dozens of rockets hurled towards Israel in what was one of the deepest strikes since the war began. While many of the 150 rockets, cruise missiles, and drones launched by Hezbollah were intercepted by Israeli air defenses, the IDF said on Sunday there were a small number of cases of hits and interception debris falling on Israeli territory. Meanwhile, the Israeli military is also looking into reports that Yahya Sinwar, the leader of Hamas, was killed in a recent Israeli airstrike, an Israeli official told NBC News. At this point, Israel does not have enough evidence to confirm his death or rule it out, the officials say. But negotiations are ongoing. Negotiations are ongoing. They just keep killing the people they're supposed to be negotiating with. Maybe it's worth it to go back over how exactly we got here, because it is, it can all just sort of get lost in the chaos, can't it? The timeline, the chain of events that led us to where we are now.
You could say this whole conflict started on October 7th with the Al-Aqsa flood attack against Israeli military positions. But that in and of itself doesn't even make much sense, since the term Al-Aqsa flood denotes the fact that this attack was in response to Israeli aggression at the Temple Mount or the Al-Aqsa Mosque. That is the probably second most holy site in Islam, and that has become a point of contention between the Israeli government and the Arabs, Muslims that still live there. I mean, obviously, you could go back to really the late 1800s if you wanted. You could go back even farther if you really wanted to get into the history of Zionism. But where all of this starts, where the tit-for-tat chain of events begins, we can start with October 7th, in which a bunch of Hamas members seemingly miraculously overcame the most sophisticated and powerful border defenses in the history of the world. The continually surveilled, massively militarized border between Gaza and Israel was breached. Over 1,000 Israelis died. But of course, there are a few strange aspects to this. First of all, the more outrageous claims on October 7th were all universally false. Not to say it wasn't a brutal attack, but the claims of rape gangs, the claims of babies being put into ovens, all of these were false. None of these actually happened. There was a music festival that was attacked, the Nova Festival. But even that is just sort of surrounded by bizarre happenings. So the fact that the music festival location was changed just days before, the fact that they almost seemingly purposefully put the music festival directly on the border with Gaza, so that the militants who, by all accounts and apparently, you know, through their actions, seems like they were targeting military objectives, but happened to realize that there's a giant music festival happening right in the middle of this active war zone. And then Israel sent airships and helicopters, you know, 7 hours later after a huge delay. I'm sort of rambling through this, and I want to give the full context, because obviously this event and the subsequent events, emotions run high, and I don't want to be flippant or, you know, short about any of this. But also, when the emotions run high and when you have this type of occurrence going on, you can lose sight. Like, you're there, you're hearing about all this crazy stuff, the rape gangs, babies in ovens, it's crazy. And then later that might be proven wrong, but that's not till months later. And in the meantime, action has been taken on the basis of the belief that these things have happened. And then there's claims about, well, it was Israelis that were shelling the houses that the hostages were being held in and that the militants were in. And there are claims that day, and then later there's investigations. So, you know, now that the investigations have been held and that the video has been released, we know in no uncertain terms that the so-called Hannibal directive was followed, that the Israeli tactic of killing the hostage takers, even if that means the hostages themselves have to die, was in effect, and that perhaps the majority, certainly a large number, perhaps the majority of the people killed at the Nova Festival and elsewhere were killed by Israeli gunships, helicopters, raining fire down. And again, all you really have to do is look at the evidence. Yeah, why would the media go to such lengths to concoct gruesome X-rated versions of an attack that was so harrowing enough to begin with? Well, because they needed to justify the outrage. And the problem with all this is, like, we were telling you this as it was happening. We were narrating along as these attacks first started and as they got going, explaining the psychology behind it, saying this has to be treated like an existential threat to keep the fear up, to keep the anxiety up, to keep the state of panic so that the actions of Israel look justified. Because it turns out that, like, okay, there weren't rape gangs, there weren't babies in ovens. Huge death toll came primarily because Israeli response both was delayed 7 hours and the attack was allowed to happen for a long time. Then when the response did come, the Israelis just killed a bunch of their own people. Then you're not going to have the emotional impetus to start a massive genocidal campaign to wipe Gaza out completely or send all the Palestinians to Europe. So they needed to keep the atmosphere of life or death, of we don't have an option. Of, look, maybe if we had time to think about this, maybe we wouldn't do it, but we don't have time. We just got to go now. We just got to attack now. We just got to do it now. And it just, you kept that up for months and months and months on end in order to justify the massive, relentless, largely untargeted attacks against Gaza. Basically every hospital, basically every school, the refugee camps, they've all been bombed to hell. Hundreds of thousands of people have been killed. Hundreds of thousands of civilians, hundreds of thousands of children, women, refugees, the people trying to deliver food were bombed on purpose, even though they had coordinated their path and what they were doing with the Israeli military. Because it was a symbol to everybody. If you want to help people in Gaza, Israel will kill you. And they'll get away with it. And that's an example for everybody else. Stop trying to help these people. They've bombed the water treatment plants. They've cut off fuel supplies. They've kept Gaza in a state of total destitution this entire time. And still not actually achieved many, if any, of their military goals. There's also an offer on like October 8th or 9th from Hamas saying we will return all hostages for an agreement that Israel will not enter into Gaza. And Israel rejected that. Because it's more important to them to have the excuse that they've wanted for a long time to invade Gaza, to ethnically cleanse it, and to annex it forcibly into Israeli territory. They cared more about that than they did about the lives of the hostages, which to them were just a useful excuse to launch this long-awaited and long-planned-for land grab against Gaza. They're doing the same in West Bank, even though Hamas doesn't have a presence there. They're doing the same in Lebanon. They'll do the same to Syria. They'll do the same to Iran. Talk about expansionism, murderous intent. Israel really sets the record on the world stage today. We'll be back to break it down more.
Turmeric has been used as a medicine for thousands of years to treat digestive disorders, respiratory problems, arthritis, and depression. It has strong anti-cancer, anti-diabetic, antimicrobial, and antioxidant properties, and is one of the most effective anti-inflammatory medications available. The powerful Bodies formula at InfoWarsStore.com includes 95% curcuminoids, Boswellia serrata extract, organic sage leaf, organic lemon balm leaf, organic thyme leaf, and piperine from black pepper. Bodies is arguably the best turmeric formula available. Get it now. Support free speech and support the InfoWar at InfoWarsStore.com.
America is waking up to the sad and painful fact that we've been under a multinational, globalist, deep state intelligence agency-controlled coup for decades in this country. We didn't have full control 30, 40 years ago, but they're really attempting full control now, and that's where we are. And InfoWars has engaged in the best long-term analysis of the enemy operation and predicted the resistance movement would form against it, and the fact that we would have major successes against the enemy, but they would then double, triple, quadruple down. That's where we are now. So it's more important than ever that InfoWars stay on the air. I just want to thank you all for your support and spreading the word. It's more important than ever that we get funding. We're trying to make it easier for you to fund us by simply going to InfoWarsStore.com and getting great products that enrich you and your family's lives. I want to just encourage you all to not forget that without you, we won't be here. So please go to InfoWarsStore.com today, and I thank you.
InfoWars.com is tomorrow's news today.
You're listening to The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Back, folks. Continue to bring you live coverage of what is happening in Lebanon and Israel right now as more and more updates are pouring in. Israeli soldiers raid and order closure of Al Jazeera office in Ramallah. Heavily armed and masked Israeli soldiers raised Al Jazeera Bureau in the occupied West Bank and deliver a 45-day closure order. Israeli soldiers have raided Al Jazeera's bureau in Ramallah in the occupied West Bank and ordered the Doha-based news network to shut down operations amid a widening Israeli crackdown on media freedom. Heavily armed and masked Israeli soldiers forcefully entered the building housing Al Jazeera's bureau and handed the 45-day closure order to the network's West Bank bureau chief early on Sunday. The chief said the Israelis' military closure accused the network of incitement and support of terrorism. Because of course they did. Just like Ukraine shut down all of the dissident news outlets that weren't state-controlled. It's because they're going to do something they don't want the world knowing about. These are the Western values, the democracy that we're going to go to war for. Just don't speak out against it, or you'll be accused of supporting terrorism and forcibly shut down. Freedom and liberty. I saw somebody posted this saying, oh, look, it's exactly what they want to do to InfoWars headquarters. It's like, yeah, if they could. If we Americans, we believers in the Enlightenment and free speech, those of us against the evil expansion of the powers of the government, if we were to go away, you don't think they would do this in an instant? You don't think they'd be sending the American military to shut down every dissident outlet in existence if they thought they could get away with it? If they can just crush the desire for free speech in the hearts of the American people, if they can just convince the American people that all of these fellow Americans speaking freely and saying what they think is dangerous, it's too much to bear. If you can label them as hate or inciting terrorism or inciting racism, and get people to fear the incitement of racism more than they fear total informational control, then they would do this in an instant. Which I saw somebody else on Twitter being like, the Palestinians were happy after 9/11. It's like, oh dear, were they dancing? The Israelis were dancing too during all of this. It's just they were dancing because they had foreknowledge and were there filming the event before it happened. But is it really that hard to understand why I might find common cause with people having their news station shut down, with people being told that their race doesn't exist? Is it really all that far-fetched to think that should the restrictions and the limitations imposed by the Constitution ever fall, that we would be subjected to treatment just as ruthless as any Palestinian for the exact same crimes of refusing despotism, of standing up against foreign control of their land. And this really is, it's one of those instances, one of those topics that's really, I think, serve as a dividing line between who gets what's going on and who doesn't.
At InfoWars MD, you can find the most popular in-demand supplements available and sourced at the highest quality. Nitric oxide, probiotics, joint relief max, nerve renew, prostate support, collagen, superfood greens, turmeric, ashwagandha, CBD, along with Mushroom Max Nootropic, Better Mood Plus, Libido RX, and Good Night Sleep. Improve the quality of your life and support the InfoWar. Go to InfoWars MD under Health and Wellness at InfoWarsStore.com.
Putting the power of conversation into the caller's hands. You're listening to The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith.
Welcome back, folks. We'll move on now for now from the conflict between Israel and Lebanon. We'll get back to it as news develops. There's a lot going on here in America that deserves our attention. And I'll go to a video that I was going to go to earlier, but we didn't quite have time. And this is, again, going back to that compilation of just a few, just like a tiny, tiny little taste of the lies that we suffered under when it came to Donald Trump's administration. And my take on this on X, as I, you know, said on the show, is it's not about the individual lies. It's about this constant deluge of non-existent scandals and how every day for 4+ years under Trump, there were at least 3 to 4 simultaneous ongoing media fabricated non-existent scandals about things that either never happened or don't matter in the slightest. And that the cumulative effect of this was to drive the nation completely insane, because everybody knows the lie spreads, gets 10 million views. The retraction, the correction, the context in which the lie makes perfect sense never gets any views. Like, how many people? And it's a good example because it seems so silly. The first example from that video of Trump dumping the fish food. Like, who cares, right? Okay. Let's claim that that video was totally legit. And it's like, okay, the president of Japan gave Trump some fish food. Instead of feeding the fish piece by piece, he dumped it all out. And it's like, okay, if that was true, who the hell cares, right? This is a scandal. This is. But when every day you're seeing like 3 or 4 of these, when every single one of them is treated as just another piece of evidence of how arrogant or self-centered or dismissive or whatever attitude or adjective you want to put on Donald Trump. Where sure, he was just dumping a box of fish food out today. That might not seem a bit that big of a deal, but the day before he was, you know, put the wrong shoes on. The day before that, he may or may not have said something off the cuff that may or may not have been insulting somebody. And the day before that, and just goes on and on and on. And these things just embed themselves into the subconscious of the American people. Where you see interviews, man on the street interviews these days, like most people that are asked about Kamala Harris, and it's like a whole genre now, where like you ask them for a policy that Kamala supports and they just run away. It's hilarious. But for the most part, they just hate Trump. And there's like, Trump's a bastard. He's a liar. He's a cheat. He's a scoundrel. He's a criminal. He's a felon. And you go, okay, what's something like rude that he did? What's something racist that he did? Well, the people on both sides. Okay, well, that's not true. And it doesn't matter. Like, the point I'm trying to make is that it doesn't matter to these people. You could piecemeal, you could one by one go through and disprove every single piece of evidence they have in their mind that they think proves that Trump is a bad person, and it won't have any effect. See, they just know Trump's a racist. Then the evidence is sort of icing on the cake. But if you go in and say, well, he didn't really say that, they go, well, it doesn't really matter because that's not really why I believe this. I believe this because of the cumulative effect, because of the compounding function of these lies. And so the people, and again, this is important. It's not just like, oh, the Democrats are liars and hypocrites. You have to understand that to the average person, they're just absorbing this. They're just the target of this continual onslaught. And what that does is just keeps them in a constant state of low-level anxiety. Not high-level anxiety like they have a gun to their head, but just the idea out there that Trump is just, what's he doing today? What's he messing up today? What scheme is he trying to pull today? Why can't we just get things back on track? Because stupid Donald Trump is ruining everything. It's just this constant low-level anxiety that isn't actually caused by Donald Trump. It's not actually Donald Trump causing this. It's the media making things up, fabricating scandal, making it baseless accusations, keeping them in a constant. And so whether they know it or not, there's a huge portion, probably the majority, like literally probably the majority of Kamala voters are people who are just like, I just don't want to be terrorized anymore. Just if I vote for Kamala, then every time I turn on the TV, it'll look like rainbows and sunshine. Sure, my physical reality will get worse. I'll be paying more than I ever thought I'd have to. My kids' schools will slowly but surely collapse into abject failure. Streets will be less safe. Just everything about the country will tangibly get worse, but I mostly just watch TV. So as long as TV tells me that everything is good and everybody's happy, then I feel good and I feel happy. Does this make sense? It's so obvious. It's one of the ironies. It's like it's so obvious I can't even explain it. It's so obvious I can't explain it. The way I phrased it on Twitter, the cumulative effect of this was to literally drive the nation insane. Most of the people voting for Kamala were kept in a state of perpetual low-grade anxiety for years by this psychological terror, and they want to avoid the terror by voting for the terrorists, which would be Stockholm Syndrome. And you should also notice how many of the lies were framed to make Trump seem rude, arrogant, or uncaring. So Americans were being drip-fed a daily supply of evidence of Trump's bad character, solidifying their unshakable belief that he is simply a bad man. And that type of subconscious indoctrination is beyond evidence or argument. Again, it's not like they're like, well, Trump's rude. Trump's a jackass. And you go, why? And they go, well, did you see that one time he dumped the fish food? And you go, no, look, he was just doing what the president of Japan was doing. That wasn't rude. That was just what you're supposed to do. What do you think happens next? Like in any reasonable world, people would go, oh, okay, I thought that was Trump being rude. That seems like he was actually just following the following what his host was doing. That's not rude. Never mind. Trump's a good guy. Like, no. Now, the idea that's been implanted is Trump bad man. And that has been this idea just gets implanted and then just stays there and it just grows like a cancer. And it doesn't matter how many times you can disprove all of their claims, it just doesn't matter to them. It just doesn't matter. That being said, the flip side of this is that when people do open their eyes, there's no half measure. There's no like, well, sure, they lied about that, but I still think they're right. When you finally wake somebody up, when somebody finally starts to just think about
what they're seeing in reality with their own eyes and with their own consciousness and applying their own logic to it, it becomes clear that not just the things that they've said are lies, but that they all know that they're lies and that they're all in on it and that it's all coordinated, orchestrated, purposeful design to achieve the insanity, the mass formation psychosis. So once you are awake to this, once you finally understand and can come to terms with the fact that you've been lied to, if you have the strength of will and I don't know what you need to get through it, but if you have the ability to actually think about it and actually go, okay, if they're lying this much and they're all lying and they're lying in a coordinated fashion and the politicians are lying and they make laws based on those lies or they set policy based on those lies, you realize not only is Trump not the bad person that you thought he was, but that the people who'd been telling you that are worse than Trump could ever be. The lies that they say totally eclipse even their most outrageous slander of Donald Trump. So it's a poison pill they've used. It's a dangerous game they're playing. And I want to go to this video now. Very powerful video. I think it was was it clip 7? Black guy TikTok. All right. Yeah, this guy simply did his own research and, you know, gives me hope that people can wake up, can realize what's going on here, can open their eyes not just to the individual lies about Donald Trump, but the full scope and scale and totality of the deception that the entire world is operating under right now. Here's a very powerful awakening video from TikTok.
I made a video the other day asking people when was the moment that they came to the conclusion Donald Trump is racist. A lot of people said the Central Park 5. We'll talk about that in another video. For me personally, it was the very fine people on both sides thing.
But you also had people that were very fine people on both sides.
I remember seeing that clip and feeling like, wow. Maybe he is racist. And I just happened to come across this video on YouTube. It basically said that the clip was edited and that I should go back and watch the entire clip. So I watched the entire thing. It got to that point where he says very fine people on both sides. And I'm like, see, that's exactly what I knew he said that. There's no point in me even continuing to watch this. And then it goes on and it gets to the part where he's like,
and I'm not talking about the neo-Nazis and the white nationalists because they should be condemned totally.
So he said he wasn't talking about the neo-Nazis and white supremacists. Why would they show me part of the story and make me feel like this? Even in the presidential debate against Joe Biden, he brought up the very fine people thing.
He said, I think they're fine people on both sides. What American president would ever say Nazis coming out of fields carrying torches, singing the same anti-Semitic bile, carrying swastikas, were fine people?
Kamala Harris just brought it up on the recent debate.
Let's remember Charlottesville, where there was a mob of people carrying tiki torches, spewing anti-Semitic hate. And what did the president then at the time say? There were fine people on each side.
People are still saying it, even though it's been debunked. Snopes just added this shit in 2024 that was a lie. It supposedly said in 2017, he dropped out of a presidential race because white supremacists joined his same party.
I'm not going to be running. The party is, as you know, self-destructing.
When you say the party is self-destructing, what do you see as the biggest problem with the Reform Party right now?
Well, you've got David Duke just joined, a bigot, a racist, a problem. I mean, this is not exactly the people you want in your party.
Then you find that clip of him with Jesse Jackson.
Beyond that, in terms of reaching out and being inclusive, he's done that too. And created for many people a comfort zone when I ran for the presidency in 84 and 88. And many others thought it was either laughable or something to avoid. He came to our business meeting here in New York because he has this sense of the curious and a will to risk to make things better. And so aside from all of his style and his pizzazz, he's a serious person who is an effective builder of building the builder people. Last year, he was a part of our workshop, of our panel workshop on what are the challenges and opportunities. And so this, a year later, Donald Trump, for a few minutes, challenges and opportunities to embrace the underserved communities. Donald Trump.
Well, it is an honor to be here.
You see the clip with him on The View, and him and Whoopi Goldberg, she's saying that they're friends.
Well, I think I'm going to get Whoopi's vote.
She put me in a movie.
How much did I charge? Nothing.
Like they
right?
didn't even
charge
me.
People love this guy, like Oprah saying he should run for president.
You have a vice presidential candidate in mind?
Well, I really haven't gotten quite there yet. I love Oprah. Oprah would always be my first choice.
Oprah,
your competitor, right?
Oprah's a competitor.
You know what?
No
she's
one.
Out there. She's really a great woman, though. She is a terrific woman. She's somebody that's very special.
Trump takes in Jennifer Hudson and family.
Joe Brown said,
I've talked to a number of black entrepreneurs who back in the late 80s and 90s, were early 90s, were trying to get financing. They couldn't. Somebody told them to go check with Donald Trump. So they come back and tell me they got a loan from Donald Trump. He gave them a term loan. Show up with the interest in the principal, one check. But they had to go see him personally. They independently relate this tale that when they saw him, he said, this is what you're supposed to pay me? This is our agreement? Said, yeah. And then tore the check up, shook their hands, and congratulations. Now run your business.
And this was when?
This was back in the 90s.
Waka Flocka talks about how he showed him how to increase his wealth.
Get a C-Corp to run an LLC. He going to make it even deeper. Go get a trust fund to run a corp that runs the LLC. You want to get even deeper. Own two trust funds for your business and your person to run that trust that runs all the business. It can get deep, my God.
Absolutely.
And Donald Trump actually showed me that method.
People will say that they want truth, but when you try to present them with information that goes against their beliefs of Donald Trump, they act like this.
He's condemned white supremacy over 20 times.
Oh, yes, man. Could you tell me when?
Yeah, absolutely. Would you like to see a video of a montage of 20 times that he's done it?
Oh, actually, no. I'm more interested in walking up in
there. But how are we going to learn if we don't challenge our ideas? I mean, you just made a statement that is actually inaccurate, and I can show you video evidence of why it is. I mean, would you like to see that?
No, thank you.
He's condemned white supremacy and the KKK over 20 times.
Over 20 times?
Yeah.
Do you have him right here? Can I listen to it?
Absolutely, you can. Let me pull it up for you right now.
All right. What's that?
By the way, I'm James. How's your day going, man?
It'd be a lot better if you guys were wearing masks.
We can socially distance.
Yeah, I got to go.
Wait. You don't want to see the examples? I have 20 examples right here.
He's a white supremacist.
It's just like Yuri said.
Exposure to true information does not matter anymore. A person who was demoralized is unable to assess true information. The facts tell nothing to him. Even if I shower him with information, with authentic proof, with documents, with pictures, when a military boot crashes his balls, then he will understand. But not before that. That's the tragic of the situation of demoralization.
The populace versus the establishment. Whatever they do to the populist candidate, they're doing to you. When you assist the establishment in crushing the populist candidate, they're going to turn around and do it to you next. Whatever rules that they broke to get at him that you cheered on because you were so anti-him, those rules were broken so that they can get your consent. And now that they've used your hatred to build consent to break the rules, now they can turn that same attack towards you. And you've yayed and amended it into existence. If you previously believed that Trump was racist and then something changed your mind, I'd like to know what was that moment. Thank you for watching again. Like I said, I appreciate your time and attention because you can't get it back. Leave whatever opinions that you want in the comments, and I'll see you on the next one. Peace.
Very powerful stuff from Larry22695. Larry22. Yeah, powerful stuff. The moment I stopped believing Donald Trump was racist. He has a couple great quotes in there at the very end, I think is the most powerful, where he says, now that they've used your hatred to allow them to ignore the rules, they're just going to do it to you next. That's obvious. But like, even if that wasn't the case, it's still not a good, like, even if you could guarantee, like, trust us, this will never get used against you, you still shouldn't be in favor of people being lied about and disparaged unfairly. I mean, my goodness. But I think really my favorite part about that whole video is the fact that apparently Yuri Bezmenov is just on we're on first name basis now. He's like, you know, like Yuri said, like that's how far along we are in the information continuum, is that most people watching that video know exactly who he's talking about. When he's like, you know, like Yuri said, everybody's like, oh, yeah, Yuri Bezmenov, a KGB defector, did an interview in the 80s where he talked about demoralization. Like, everybody knows now. to whether they apply it and whether that awareness has truly made it all the way through the consciousness to people. And I think in part it has. Let's go down to clip number 17. This is a Democratic voter who called into C-SPAN. Say he's going to hold his nose, close his eyes, and vote for the good candidate. Let's watch.
Roger in Kansas on the line for Democrats. Good morning, Roger.
Yes, I have my main issue. I'm going to close my eyes, and then I'm going to vote for closed borders. I'm going to vote for less taxes. I'm going to vote for more reasonable energy costs. And if you vote, close your eyes and vote that way, it's a pretty simple choice because both candidates have a history. So you just vote on that, and I don't have to tell you who I'm voting for.
Don't you love it? What's the deal, dude? I would want to talk to this guy. Like, what's your problem? Maybe I shouldn't. I should be mad at it, but it's like, he's like, I'm going to close my eyes, I'm going to hold my nose, and vote for lower taxes, closed border, lowering energy costs. So what's the issue? Why is this hard for you to do? I just don't get it. I said, like, you know what? I'm a Democrat. But I guess I have to close my eyes, hold my nose, and vote for the clearly better candidate. Vote for the guy that doesn't hate me. Vote for the person that actually has a plan. Like, well, what's the problem? What's the issue here? What is going on mentally within you that makes it so difficult for you to vote for the obviously right person? I really don't get it. I was going to have to just hold my nose, close my eyes, and just eat this delicious ice cream. It's like, what is the deal? It's a good thing. You should be. I just don't get. I just really don't get the psychology of Democrats. That's like they're like mad that they're on the side of evil. It's like, just stop being on that side. Nobody's making you be this way. It's like they feel like they're being cheated somehow. They're being like forced to vote for Donald Trump. It's like, no, he's just the better candidate. Like, what is the issue? The issue is that deluge. The issue is the constant stream. And I went ahead and pulled up three dates at total random off the Wayback Machine, CNN.com. Totally random. One, I just chose today's date, September 23rd, but in 2018. Went right smack dab in the middle of Trump's administration. U.S.-China trade talks stall amid tariff stand-up. Trump's decision to put new tariffs on $200 billion worth of goods ends discussion for now. Trade war reaches your medicine cabinet. Trade war could last 20 years. On and on and on, right? The number one story, the top story, Trump causing a trade war. Opinion, Trump's global insignificance about to be exposed. Trump bad, Trump ruining everything. Trump starting trade wars, Trump making everything expensive, okay? All totally true. We won that trade war. It never had a major impact negatively whatsoever. It was a huge success. But that's not what you heard day in and day out, where headlines like that. Trade war reaches your medicine cabinet. Walmart is where the trade war comes home. How the U.S. trade war might impact your beer, right? Your life is getting worse because of Trump. Trump double down on dumb, and just goes on and on, right? This is a random day. Totally random. I just chose today in 2018. And I just picked another random day in Trump's administration. Puerto Ricans fire back at Trump. I haven't even looked at this one yet. But just know, every day, every single day for the entirety of Trump's administration, this is what the headlines looked like. Every single day, day in, day out, continual stream of anxiety produced by total lies. At this point, like, don't even remember why this would have been a scandal in the first place. But at the time, it kept people angry and divided.
Supplements are the second fastest growing industry in America over the last few decades. AI has now outstripped it. And that's because people continue to learn how amazing the compounds are that Mother Nature gives us. Now, ladies and gentlemen, not all supplements are created equal. InfoWars MD line, more than 15 products, are all the very best you're going to find at extremely low prices. Take our CBD oil, gummies, and 1,000 milligram tincture. We private label it from a top company. They sell it retail for double what we sell it for. Does that give you an idea how amazing these products are and how low the prices are? Just get InfoWars MD CBD, test it out, see how great it is, and then I know you're going to want the other products like our ashwagandha, like our super green food, like our 95% curcuminoid, turmeric 95. They're all available under the InfoWars MD line at InfoWarsStore.com. Thank you for your support. This keeps us on air. Plus, these are game-changing products. Get yours today. Ladies and gentlemen, we're in a war against the globalist, and people can't identify who's a patriot and who isn't. We want to identify as pro-human and anti-globalist. We want to let people know we're 1776 Part 2. That's why I designed this amazing 1776 red, white, and blue Gadsden flag shirt so you can support the InfoWar and meet like-minded people everywhere when you wear it. When you wear these shirts, it creates an amazing amount of energy, and it's quite the adventure. So get your 1776 shirt right now at InfoWarsStore.com and get your Team Humanity InfoWars limited edition shirt right now at InfoWarsStore.com. Ladies and gentlemen, this is antithetical, the complete opposite of what the globalists are pushing. So get both the Team Humanity and the 1776 Gadsden Snake Shirts limited edition at InfoWarsStore.com right now. Spread the word, meet like-minded people, and fund the 1776 revolution worldwide.
The InfoWars system is very simple. We tell you the truth about what's going on in the world, and we ask that you support us in exchange. If we don't tell you the truth, you probably won't support us. That's our only incentive. All we have is you, the InfoWars audience. And just like our information has to be good, or else we can't expect your support, well, our products have to be good, or we can't expect you to be returning customers. And everybody knows some of the bombshell, incredible, iconic supplements at InfoWarsStore.com. But what some InfoWars audience members don't know about is the InfoWars MD line of supplements. This is our premium line of supplements, and there's something for everybody here. This is the newest line of supplements from InfoWars designed to boost vitality and enhance overall well-being, available exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. Whether you're looking to support immune health, improve cognitive function, or increase energy levels, our meticulously crafted formulations cater to your diverse needs. Only at InfoWarsStore.com.
First of all, we want to avoid the middle of the grocery store and stick to whole foods, real food. But these days, even the real food is short of its nutrient potential. And this is why it's important to take a vitamin mineral supplement every day. According to studies, regular multivitamin mineral supplement use reduces the risk of cancer and cardiovascular disease. Perhaps supplements aren't important to you, but in today's upside-down world, a daily vitamin mineral supplement is a must, and we have one of the best. Support your health and support the InfoWar. Get your vitamin mineral fusion today at InfoWarsStore.com.
InfoWars.com is tomorrow's news today.
You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back, folks. This is American Journal, InfoWars.com, band.video. I could just... There's so much more to talk about now. I just feel like we forget what it was like under Trump. We do. We just have this like memory of a goldfish. I especially think about this when it comes to Trump and the and COVID or Trump and the vaccines, where people forget just how brutal the entire media was for the entirety of Trump's administration. And again, it's just funny that you can pick any day, and we can actually do a lot. The problem is archive.org just always takes a while to pull stuff up, so I had to pull these up beforehand. But yeah, you just find any date in the entirety of Trump's administration, and the entire front page of CNN is just hatred of Trump. I know it's kind of obvious, but it's like shocking when you go back and look at it. It really is. Puerto Ricans fire back at Trump. Just pick a random day. This happened to be October 1st, 2017. Trump's last 7 days are just mind-bogglingly bad. Trump tweeted, leaders on the island want everything to be done for them. Miranda to Trump, you're going straight to hell. San Juan mayor to Trump, I have no time for this. Honoré to Trump, have fun golfing. Bailey, Trump can't handle criticism from brown people or women. Teamsters organize trucks to move supplies to Puerto Rico. And it's like, you know, hurricanes have hit Caribbean nations in Biden's administration, right? And it's just, it's not even mentioned, right? You'll see one little thing. Hurricane hits this thing, supplies on its way. Don't worry about it. And this is the point I want to drive home. They can spin up scandal from literally nothing. Literally nothing. And so it's not like Trump handled the Puerto Rican hurricane badly. It's that they took any opportunity of any minute going on to force him into a reactionary position where he's trying to appease their insane demands that they would just double down on. And like, it doesn't even matter. At the end of the day, like, all this was fake. They discovered all this Puerto Rican aid that had been purposefully thrown away because they wanted to make Trump look bad. They were, like, actually hurting people by fabricating this whole event just to get the headlines. That, again, like, you know, 4 years later, nobody cares. Nobody knows about it. It didn't actually matter. But for the time, this was like people would yell at you. People were, like, tearing their hair out. It's like, Trump, he's killing all the Puerto Ricans. And it's just this constant, overwhelming anxiety that we have to be on the look out for, knowing that the way that the New World Order is establishing the global government is through totally coordinated, totally orchestrated, totally fabricated outrages that either don't exist or aren't a big deal, but are spun up into this frantic panic state, and then they get what they want. So they do it over and over and over again, and people keep falling for it. And Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is on top of this. We have a story in our Daily Dispatch as well about the future pact with the UN. RFK Jr. says, due to their failure with the pandemic treaty, the UN has decided to move on this issue through the General Assembly, giving the Secretary General emergency powers they could not get for the WHO. The United Nations Pact for the Future is an unconstitutional attempt to pass a treaty that allows international organizations to violate the sovereignty of the United States of America by declaring a global state of emergency without our consent. Not good for the U.S. It's not good for the rest of the world. To express your concerns, call the United Nations Ambassador to the United Nations, United States Ambassador to the United Nations at 212-415-4000. 212-415-4000. In an administration where I participate, you won't have to do this. You won't have to do this. So they are just doing it. They are just establishing what is, for all intents and purposes, in form and function, an unelected, unified, global, international government. And all of the little pieces are being put into place. Now I'm going to open up the lines for your calls. Call in about any of these topics and more. Number to dial, 1-877-789-2539, 1-877-789-2539. I'm just wondering where to go at this point. I mean, these headlines, as separate as they may seem. Like, it's all very, very carefully intertwined, very uniquely corroborated. Less than 50% of Washington State public school students are at grade level in math and science. The grades of Washington public school students are cratering across the state, with the vast majority of students well below failing as the massive exodus to private schools continues into a new year. Earlier this week, the 2023 to 2024 K-12 report card was released by Washington's Office of Superintendent of Public Instruction, revealed that, according to the standardized testing, only 50.3% of students were considered on track in English, 39% in math, and 43.5% in science. In comparison, the 22 to 23 school year, the scores were 50.7% on track in English, 39.1% in math, and 42.9% in science, showing no real improvement. Just abysmal numbers across the board. But isn't that the case with everything? And isn't it only going to get worse and worse? Is anybody actually trying to correct this trend at all? And what would be necessary to correct the trend? First of all, to acknowledge the issues. What's happening now is that instead of recognizing that American children are failing across the board and not being educated, not being prepared to pick up the mantle of the greatest country that has ever lived, we're just churning out incompetence to a massive degree. Usually the response is we have to stop grading. Is, well, let's look at the results on the basis of race, and if non-white people are doing worse than white people, then obviously racism is to blame. And it's the grades that are at issue. We need to stop grading people. We need to stop actually testing them. That's the problem. Low test scores? Well, why are you giving them tests then? Like, I'm not being facetious in this article. Additionally, many public schools have been removing higher level learning programs, including advanced placement courses, to address equity concerns. Because when you set, you know, a standard to achieve, and not everybody achieves that standard uniformly, then the standard must be wrong and you have to do away with it. So sure, you know, exemplary students, students that achieve above and beyond. You know, maybe if you wanted what's best for the country, you would have advanced placement for those students. You would help to foster and kindle that fire. And you'd place them in more challenging classes, and you'd put them on a fast track to some higher level education. But in a world where equity is the primary overriding and seemingly singular concern of people in power, then advanced placement courses, I mean, that's just inequitable. It's unequal. It's unfair. See, it's a whole hell of a lot harder, almost impossible in some cases, to bring low achievers up to the higher achievers level. It's way easier to bring those higher achievers down. And if your only goal is equity, that's a very simple solution. Or if you're running a track program, if your goal is to have the fastest kids and set records and achieve the height of human athletics, then the fastest kids are going to get more training. They're going to be advanced to the next level. If your goal is equity, then you just find the slowest person and you hobble everybody else until they're at that slowest person. You break everybody else's legs and then you've achieved equity. Sure, the whole program is then pointless, worthless, less than worthless. All you're doing is actually taking the best, brightest, most accomplished people and crippling them. So the people that don't achieve well don't feel bad about themselves, I guess. It's absurd. It's insane. But that's the path down which we're heading. And again, we're not even going to see the real like outcome of this for a couple decades. Because right now, the people still running things were at least educated in schools and colleges that still upheld some form of meritocracy, still had some bare minimum of standards. People like running the corporations and making decisions now that were educated in like the 70s and 80s, Well, they're going to go away over the next few years, and replacing them are going to be people who, like, we don't even know if they're qualified or not because they were never forced to take tests. And there were reports that I saw over the weekend of, I don't think it was Springfield, it was another place where they brought in a bunch of migrants and just destroyed the school system. Half or more of the kids now don't even speak the language, so tons of resources have to be poured in just on getting them to speak English, yet the kids that are there, like, aren't being instructed for half the day because half the day is in a language they don't understand because they don't. What they're telling these school districts is you have to pass everybody. No illegal immigrant should receive a grade lower than 70. Because they have to pass them. Because otherwise, you're looking at a bottleneck. I mean, if they actually grade these kids on their intellectual or academic achievement, then none of them will pass. So then, well, you've got just a group of kids in the same grade, doing the same grade over and over as you try to advance other kids up through? I mean, no, you're going to cause a bottleneck here. It's not feasible. It's not possible. It can't function like that. So instead, just pass everybody. Instead, just give everybody the diploma, give everybody the certificate of accomplishment. And then they'll go to med school, you know, and won't be graded there because that's racist. And then soon there'll be the doctor operating on you. And it would probably be racist at that point to, you know, categorize medical malpractice by race. So don't expect to hear about the quality of the doctor that you're going to before you go. This is like, it's going to kill everybody. It's going to, like, everybody's going to die. Boeing fires the head of its defense, space, and security unit after Starliner fiasco. It's been a tough year for Boeing, to say the least. Besides all the issues with their airplanes, including the grounding of the 737 MAX aircraft, there's also the issue of the Starliner aircraft, which is arguably the most high-profile debacle. The fact that the two astronaut crew of the maiden Starliner voyage are still on the space station awaiting a lift from rival SpaceX craft to come back home is a black eye that can't be disguised. And so they're now immediately removing the company's troubled defense, space, and security unit, leaving the plane maker effective immediately. New Boeing CEO Kelly Ortberg, in his first significant move since taking over in August, said Ted Colbert would be leaving and Steve Parker, the unit's chief operating officer, would assume Colbert's responsibility until a replacement is named at a later date. Boeing's space business has suffered setbacks, notably NASA's recent decision to send a Boeing Starliner capsule home without astronauts that followed years of missteps. The Starliner project has cost Boeing no less than $1.6 billion in overruns alone since 2016. Well, look, folks, people think it's an accident. They think it's inevitable somehow that this world we live in functions. Like, it's just going to work. It doesn't matter who's operating these things or what decisions they're making. They're in this, like, normalcy bias of living in the first world. Like, what we're experiencing here, in a variety of different ways, not just the technical competence that allows us to keep the lights on, but the moral competence of the people in power, the intrinsic and very deeply held aversion to corruption that the average American feels. That you could go out and you could find the average, you know, high school football coach, find the average whatever, just person, just your normal American decent human being. You could give them huge power, and for most of them, they would respect it. They would not want to, you know, overstretch their power. They wouldn't want to engage in corruption, partly out of just a genuine sort of honor, desire to do what's right, but also out of fear of punishment, because we live in a system that holds corrupt people to account. But what happens when the corruption starts eking its way in? What happens when bit by bit, piece by piece, position after position is being filled by corruptible, unscrupulous people. Well, then the decent, good people, I mean, they're the fools. They're going to get screwed out of everything, and they're going to be faced with the choice, either succumb, either play the game, either pay the bribes or collect the bribes or use whatever petty power you've been given in an unfair and selfish way, or have it taken from you and used by somebody else who's more unscrupulous and less trustworthy. So it sucks, but we're just now just starting to feel the reverberations of this decades-long policy. And unless we actively work to combat and reverse it, this is just the path down which we're headed. It was nice. It was nice for a while having a society where you could get on a plane and trust it not to fall out of the sky. Where you could pay your taxes and trust you're not getting raked over the coals by some, you know, bureaucrat stealing money wherever he possibly can. Where you can pay your speeding ticket without having to hand over a 50 to the cop who gave it to you. Where you can cross a bridge without a ship running into it and killing you. Yeah, it was nice. It was nice, this little world, this little garden we created in the chaos of the jungle. But it's going away now. It's going away. And anybody trying to preserve it will be called racist and forcibly shut down. Okay? And at a certain point, incompetence and malice are one and the same. And there is no meaningful distinction between them. With that, we go out to your calls. Henry in Chicago called in about something that I don't know how to deal with this, Henry, because I love Trump. I'm 100% for Trump. I trust the God Emperor to do what's right. But then he comes out with these speeches.
Yes, I think he's blinded. First of all, I want him to be aware that the deep state is run by the Israelis. And I'm not making this up because I did my research. Israel was founded in 1948 in one day, okay, by David Ben Gurion. And you can look up the where it states that. Also, why is he trying to mimic Israel with the Iron Dome? It's going to cost about $300 trillion, and we're going to be enslaved. And maybe he should talk to Scott Ritter, where he says the Iron Dome doesn't protect Israel. We have given Israel billions and billions of dollars. That's a deep state. They run our Congress. And why is Trump attacking our First Amendment by saying anti-Semitic is bad? Look at the definition of Semitic. It's people, Arab, Jewish, and Acadian people that are Semitic. So being anti-Semitic, just because you say something, it impedes your free speech, just like Stefanik. You put it H.R. 94. Oh, well, any comment against Israel is anti-Semitic. No, it's my free speech. And you allow Netanyahu come and insult every American, calling us useful idiots because we criticize the genocide committed by Israel. Do people know that Israel uses the Hannibal principle? They kill more than half of the Israelis on October 7th, but the media doesn't say anything. And you can verify this with Scott Ritter and other people that have been up there. Now they're silencing the media. We are next. If we don't stand up and use our Second Amendment to protect our Constitution, because this government has come after every single American, whether you're Democrat or Republican, you're going to be put under the gun to make you pay taxes forever, which they're unconstitutional. And we need to get rid of the National Security Act of 1947. There's a 50 U.S.C. 41. That controls the CIA, the NSA, the FBI, all those corrupt agencies. They need to be flushed out. But Trump,
they need to be gutted. I want to focus on this, Henry, because over the weekend, Trump gave this speech to some Jewish group where he's going, on my first day at noon on my inauguration day, we will crush anti-Semitism. And it's like, dude, what the hell? Like, what is going on? And you know, talking about going to war with Iran or, you know, vote for me or Israel's finished. And it's like, it makes no sense in a variety of different ways. You know, as you point out, the, you know, operations against him that have been spearheaded by Israel or
the Mossad,
you know, or the Mossad or, you know, lackeys of them. Like, why you would have any loyalty to them at all is very bizarre, very strange. The attacks against free speech that are obviously always predicated on false claims of hate or anti-Semitism or whatever. And the fact that, like, the number one problem for Kamala Harris is her wavering support of Israel, right? She's not even that hardcore, but, like, they're worried about her losing Minnesota because she is not more, like, pro-Hamas. If Trump would just stick with the message of I'm the peace president, I want peace, I will bring peace, the war in the Middle East will stop as soon as I'm president, he could steal half of her support. So what is the calculus here? And I see other people, you know, just breaking down the numbers going, wait, 75% of Jews vote Democrat. So Trump is up there just talking about destroying the First Amendment, talking about going to war, begging and pleading and slobbering all over these people who represent Trump voters, Jewish Trump voters, 25% of 2% of the American population, right? 2% Jewish people, 2% of the American population, 25% of them vote for Trump. So you're selling out the First Amendment for 25% of 2% of the American population. Where is the count? So this is one thing, Henry, I don't understand when it comes to Trump. I don't get this. I can't justify it. It doesn't make me not want to vote for Trump. I mean, you know, his good is outweighed a million times by the bad. But this is very bad, Henry. Like, what the hell?
He needs to wake up and stop kissing ass to Israel. Sorry, pardon my French. But last time when I called, I said, I'm with the United States of Israel.
Right.
And people need to really think about it. Who runs our politicians in Congress? Israel. Why do we have congressmen that have dual citizenship and the oath to their... It's to Israel, not to the U.S. Constitution. They should be kicked out. And believe me, I call a few of the senators and congressmen and said that. And people need to follow Thomas Massie because he's introducing bills to repeal the taxes, the Sixth Amendment, which is unconstitutional. He also put some bills to get rid of the dual citizenship on congressmen. We need to support our American values. And I'm tired of people saying, oh, Judeo-Christians. You know the definition of Judeo-Christian means that when the Jews became Catholic. So stop saying that. We are a Christian nation. And also, a Semite is an Arab and Jewish and Kadanishan. I think I mispronounced that. It doesn't exclusively say Jews. And they made the biggest claim about killing babies. That's been debunked. And Trump keeps saying that. Also, I don't want to get into, I did research on the Holocaust. There's no way you can kill $6 million with cyanide or gas chambers because it would have been, the land would have been polluted and all that. So it's just a creation of the NSA and the deep state to control every single one and create a Christian against other religions. So Americans and Trump needs to wake up and start being, pardon my French, I'm going to bid. Israel's bitch, because he does anything for Israel. All my friends are Jewish, yeah, so what?
It is inexplicable to me. It is so bizarre to me. Because usually when Trump does something like this, I can kind of figure out the angle he's going at. I cannot figure out the angle for the life of me, but we'll take more callers who think they have an idea.
One of the most frustrating things about being awake to the globalist agenda is seeing the general public still asleep. By and large, not aware of the magnitude of the incredible danger they're under, but also the ongoing attacks and the magnitude of the death caused by the lethal injections, masquerading as vaccines. It is so frustrating to see people going about their daily lives oblivious. And you realize ignorance is not bliss, it equals death. But people are starting to really understand how serious things are, and that's a hard thing to do, because to wake up to a dystopic reality and realize that we're in the middle of a giant biological weapons war against humanity, and that there's mass sterilization that's already taken place, and they're cutting off all the major energy sources, is really hard to deal with, but it's the reality. Facing it is our only chance to turn this around, because stuff's about to get really, really nasty. InfoWars.com.
Folks, Nerve Renew is in stock at InfoWarsStore.com, and this supplement is amazing for a number of different reasons. First of all, we know that prescription opioids and pain relievers end up making us feel groggy, cloudy of mind, and frankly, addicted after time. But with Nerve Renew, we have key natural ingredients. It's a nerve support formula designed specifically for peripheral neuropathy and nerve pain relief. So if you need help relieving your aches and pains and inflammation and maybe even some nerve damage that you have from an injury or just working with your hands for years and years, Nerve Renew is the way to go. So by visiting InfoWarsStore.com and getting Nerve Renew under the InfoWars MD tab at the top of the website, not only are you investing in your own health, relieving your own pain in a natural, healthy, and safe way, but you're keeping InfoWars on the air. We know that InfoWars is under attack. Alex Jones is under attack. Freedom of speech is under attack. But you can fight to keep InfoWars on the air. So please go to InfoWarsStore.com right now and get Nerve Renew under the InfoWars MD tab at the top.
InfoWars.com is tomorrow's news today.
You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back, folks. Third hour is on. Israel considering full-scale invasion of Lebanon, strikes over 300 Hezbollah targets. That's headline of the show at InfoWars.com and band.video. We got to your phone calls once again. We've got Hobbs in Nebraska, who's called in about the Middle East and Trump assassinations. I thought this related well to what Henry was saying, the baffling stance of Trump to be so over the top pro-Israel when every Israeli group is arrayed against him and Jews don't vote for him. And there's a huge contingent of Democrats who reject the Democrat Party on the basis that they're not sufficiently anti-Israel. Why is he not pushing himself as the peace candidate? Why is he doing things like saying, if I get assassinated, we're going to go to war with Iran? Just utter madness. Hobbs, what do you got for me?
Hey, good morning, Harrison. Good morning, Info Warriors. It's your boy Hobbs, the Roots of Liberty. Yeah, unfortunately, the two things that I called in aren't connected in that way, but I will say briefly that I think that Trump's slobbering devotion to Israel is more pandering towards the evangelical Christian Zionists than it is to that 0.5% of the U.S. Jewish population.
That is a good point.
Because there's one thing we know about Christian evangelical Zionists is that they will die for Israel. They will burn the entire country to the ground.
They
Israel.
Are on average more pro-Israel than Jews. Yes, that is strange but true. Very good point, Hobbs.
So anyways, first off, about the situation in the Middle East, unfortunately, there's only three outcomes that this is going to end in. The first is a maintenance of the status quo for the last 80-some-odd years, and that is one side engages in a small attack, the other side retaliates against that retaliation, and it's just on and on forever. Option two is one side or the other is completely displaced from the region, which isn't likely to happen because they both are levying ancestral claims to that territory. And option three is one side wipes out the other one completely. And unfortunately, option number one seems to be the least bad out of the trifecta of terrible choices. Israel seems hell-bent for leather on option number three, but I think they'll settle for number two if they can get away with it. And unfortunately, there's nothing that anyone in this country can do that's going to break out of that. I think that aside from God himself splitting the clouds and looking down and telling both sides to cut the crap, this is just going to go on forever. And the other thing that I wanted to talk about was the Trump assassination stuff in the media. And you kind of hit on it, is that this, for the last 8 or 9 years, we've been just gaslit about how terrible a person Trump is. And I think Alex played a clip from C-SPAN where a guy claiming to be a 20-year veteran called in and he was like praising the assassins and saying that this is the sort of thing that needs to be done because, you know, Trump's a tyrant, right? He's the reincarnation of Hitler and stuff, right? And there's even one utterly mad argument that I've seen a few lefties use online recently, and it's like, hey, guys, I thought this is what the Second Amendment was for. Isn't it for shooting the tyrants? And the thing is that if all of the things that they're saying about Trump were true, if he was a tyrant, he was going to engage in some type of ethnic cleansing campaign against every non-white in the country or all the other stuff they're saying, if any of that were true, then yes, a Second Amendment solution would absolutely be justified. But it's not true, and the media knows it. And until they come out publicly and say, hey, guys, we pushed this too far, Trump is not Hitler, we need to just cool off a little bit, and if they don't come out and admit they're wrong, then this is going to keep happening. People are going to keep trying to kill him. Unfortunately, I don't think they're willing to eat that crow.
No, you're exactly right. No, and they're never going to. They know exactly what they're doing, and they're doing it on purpose. So you're exactly right. But no, they're never going to admit that they were lying. They're only going to double down, and it's really up to us to take them seriously. We'll be right back.
Supplements are the second fastest growing industry in America over the last few decades. AI's now outstripped it. And that's because people continue to learn how amazing the compounds are that Mother Nature gives us. Now, ladies and gentlemen, not all supplements are created equal. InfoWars MD line, more than 15 products, are all the very best you're going to find at extremely low prices. Take our CBD oil, gummies, and 1,000 milligram tincture. We private label it from a top company. They sell it retail for double what we sell it for. Does that give you an idea how amazing these products are and how low the prices are? Just get InfoWars MD CBD, test it out, see how great it is, and then I know you're going to want the other products like our ashwagandha, like our super green food, like our 95% curcuminoid, turmeric 95. They're all available under the InfoWars MD line at InfoWarsStore.com. Thank you for your support. This keeps us on air. Plus, these are game-changing products. Get yours today.
You're listening to The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back, folks. Getting a lot of calls here on today's episode of American Journal. Talking about Israel and what's going on there and what comes next. I do want to ask you once again to go to InfoWarsStore.com to support everything that we do here, which is just try to tell you the truth. Try to discern what the attacks of the mainstream media and the powers that be, what they're planning, and how to defend against it. Support us at InfoWarsStore.com. It's the only way that we get support. And, of course, Alex Jones is on the road this week with Tucker Carlson, confronting people like Francis Collins. And if nothing else, support the fact that we are an outlet that doesn't just talk the talk, we walk the walk. And are not afraid to take this argument to the real world. You're getting 40% off Vitamin Mineral Fusion right now. One of our, if not the most top-selling product of all time at InfoWarsStore.com. 40% off Vitamin Mineral Fusion. And might I suggest you try Nitric Boost, the incredible vasodilation effects are something you will notice 100%. With that, I want to go to Lebanon John. He, of course, is my co-host at Moonbase Live. And as always, keeping his finger on the pulse of the Middle East, Lebanon John on line 12. Have you been keeping up with what's been going on in Lebanon, John? Because we are getting a lot of different numbers, a lot of different accounts, hundreds of people dead or injured, obviously, but what the exact count is or how many areas they've hit or whether they're hitting Hezbollah or just bombing random neighborhoods, it's all kind of, the news is still coming in. But have you been following what's been going on the last 24 hours, and what do you know about it?
Yeah, so the latest report is the Israeli government said we struck about 800 targets this morning. So just the sheer quantity of targets is quite impressive. The last war with 2006 with Lebanon, Israel had an Air Force bombing a lot of stuff. The way that war went, and honestly, this may be somewhat of a repeat, but worse for everybody. 2006. It was very similar. The war started off and they had a bank of targets based on their intelligence of satellite infiltration, et cetera. And they have a bank of targets that they said this would disable Hezbollah. It sounds like the same thing all over again. So they went through their bank of targets, which was about 500 in 2006. It took them about a week to hit this 500 targets. Now they hit 800 targets in a day.
Wow.
Now this target bank is supposed to eliminate Hezbollah's ability to do this and that. Command and control, communicate, destroy warehouses of weapons, take out certain missile launch pads, et cetera, et cetera. That's what they're claiming. Now, the truth is, that's honestly, no one really believes that. Everybody knows Hezbollah's weapons are deep, deep underground. The chances of this really doing much is pretty small. If they couldn't do it to Hamas, they ain't going to do it to Hezbollah. But regardless of that, here's the real situation. Israel has now publicly declared that they changed their border to include Lebanese territory south of the Litani River. This is, again, a repeat of something from history. Back in the day, Israel created a security buffer zone south of this river called the Litani River. So today, like within 24 hours ago, somebody in the Israeli government basically came out and said, we now recognize the land south of the Litani River as basically Israel. So this is a de facto attempt to annex that land. And in the past, Israel invaded and occupied South Lebanon, displaced the native civilians who have been there for, I don't know, 5,000 years, 6,000 years, some crazy number, and then start Judaizing the territory. That's their term. They've made the economy run in shekels and et cetera, et cetera. They're taking over. So this happened in the past. This is like a repeat of that. And their goal, of course, would be development and Jewish neighborhoods and Judaizing and economy run on shekels, et cetera, et cetera. That's their goal. But because Hezbollah is such a problem, this is really going to be a no-man's zone that they're going to try to create. Now, they're not going to try to create this with infantry or mechanized divisions because that's suicide against Lebanon. They don't want to do that. They know that's suicide. That will play right into Hezbollah's hand. So they're not even trying to do that. What they're trying to do is actually create a no-man's land, a buffer zone to displace everybody. They're trying to do that actually through bombings and massacres. That's the real news of what they're really doing.
So, I see a lot of people questioning whether this bombing campaign is just a lead-in to invasion. You don't think that that is the strategy?
Well, they're not going to have a choice. They want to achieve their goals without invading, but the probability of that is like near zero. Because, okay, so this is an old strategy. We're going to create a buffer zone up the Litani River, and this will help create security for northern Israel. Well, that's an old strategy that used to work when Hezbollah's missiles were such short range that just pushing them back would effectively eliminate the missiles from being a problem. But that's a joke in today's world where Hezbollah could stand on the northern tip of Lebanon and hit the southern tip of Israel. So what is the buffer zone going to do? Absolutely nothing. They'll just launch rockets from north of the buffer zone or even within the buffer zone, because just because you bombed every human within the buffer zone doesn't mean Hezbollah can't come out of tunnels, launch rockets, and then go back in the tunnel. We've seen this in Gaza. So Israel really doesn't have an effective strategy here. This is just the prelude to a larger war. They wish they could achieve their aims without a ground invasion, but it's not going to happen. So because they have to do a ground invasion, they have to think what kind of ground invasion is going to work. The only one that's going to work is a huge-scale ground invasion. So what's going to happen is Syria and Lebanon are both going to come under very serious invasion, and it's going to be the prelude to World War III. That's basically, this is the beginning of the Lebanese border, and when it gets crossed, that's going to be written in the history books as the beginning of World War III. This is the border.
So the attacks yesterday, the 800 sites hit, I mean, do you have any idea of, like, if these were effective against Hezbollah, if they've taken out anything?
It's impossible that it would be effective because Hezbollah hasn't even rolled out their medium arsenal out of storage. I mean, they haven't even rolled them out. They're deep underground. So if they did blow up anything, it's the small stuff that they've been using. If you look at the list of Hezbollah's missile arsenal, they've only exposed the weakest 20%. So even if they blew up whatever missile launchers were near the surface, it's taken out things that are literally surplus military equipment from the Vietnam War era or even the Cold War era. Katyushas and slightly bigger ones like the Burkan heavy rocket. These are dirt cheap. They cost nothing, and they have an infinite quantity of those. That's nothing. They have ballistic missiles and all kinds of massive missiles. They have missiles that are almost two stories tall, and everybody knows these missiles are deep underground. So it's a joke to claim that they hit a couple sites with bunker busters, but not the biggest bunker busters, nothing like the mother of all bombs or anything like that. And Hezbollah has prepared their bunkers to survive nuclear strikes, mother of all bombs, everything you can think of. They're underneath 3,000 meters of limestone mountains. So, you know, no, these 800 strikes did nothing. It's just like 2006 all over again. The Air Force has to claim that they're doing all this and that. All they're doing is massacres. They told everyone to evacuate. The Israeli government told a huge region of Lebanon to evacuate, like a hilariously clownish large region. And then they're like, oh, see, we told you. And then they're just going to bomb everybody. They said, we're going to do to Gaza what we're going to try to do that to Lebanon. Basically, everyone really needs to be wondering, what is Hezbollah going to do? Are they going to turtle up, invite invasion, and use the typical resistance tactics of let them occupy Lebanese land and hit and run? Or are they going to counter-invade to stop the bombing on Lebanon? See, it's in the Israeli military interest to do massacres and massive destruction with the jets right now, you see, because otherwise they play into Hezbollah's hand. If they can make Hezbollah cry uncle and basically, like, shoot for a takedown first because they can't handle trading blows, Hezbollah would then be in the disadvantage in invading Israeli land. Hezbollah wants Israel to invade Lebanese land. That's where it's easy. So right now we're going to see who can hurt each other the most, and then who's going to invade first. And it's going to be Israel. Lebanon's going to take a bunch of blows and not flinch. That's normal for Lebanon. Israel is going to be forced to invade. They can't handle the rockets. And they're going to go right into a massive war. So, yeah, that's what's about to happen. A lot of people are going to die in the Middle East because Israel, when they start losing, they're going to unleash race-based bioweapons. That's the real danger. And this is going to escalate with we're basically in the book of Revelations, where it talks about the first horseman of the apocalypse was pestilence. Second horseman of the apocalypse was mass war. And this leads to a depopulation event. Well, at least for the Middle East, I guess everyone else is going to die in a different way. For the Middle East, it looks like Israel is going to release race-based bioweapons. That's going to cause huge death. But then after that, things are going to get better, actually. So it's not actually a black pill. Things get bad before they get better. That's how it goes. We're not actually at the time of the Antichrist coming out. We're not at the time of the second coming of Jesus. This is just the time before that mentioned in the Bible, where there's a huge depopulation event and massive wars leading up to the revelation of the Antichrist.
Yeah, and here's a mainstream article we're seeing on screen about Israel's ethnic weapon. Israel is reportedly developing a biological weapon that would harm Arabs while leaving Jews unaffected. And this from all the way back in 1998, I think it says. So, yeah, it's been a while. It's been a while they've been developing this type of stuff. So, yeah, I do think, you know, what Hezbollah does is on everybody's mind, whether Iran gets in, whether America gets in, like what's the threshold of combat before America gets involved. We've been talking about and Hezbollah has been talking about the Radwan battalion and invading Israeli territory or unleashing a massive rocket attack. So, I mean, there's always a tit for tat. There's always a they hit, we hit, they hit, we hit sort of thing going on in the Middle East. Israel is hit now. So I guess it's Hezbollah's turn to move the chess piece. What do you think their next move is, or are they already doing it?
Yeah, exactly. So in Lebanon and Israel has Hezbollah achieved deterrence, and by that I mean quiet on the border, quote the Israelis. Hezbollah achieved quiet on the border for 17, 18 years. You can be an 18-year-old Lebanese kid, and you don't know what it's like for Lebanon to be bombed and destroyed because Hezbollah has achieved peace for 18 years. Before that, everyone who's older than that, we're literally used to it. It's normal. Happens all the time. But today was the bloodiest day since 50 years in Lebanon. Israel is really trying to go hard here. This is not a normal day. So Hezbollah is just going to make Israelis constantly scamper into shelters in a panic and just blow up a bunch of shit in random spots all over Israel. Because that's basically, to be honest with you, they're both doing the same thing to each other. They're just blowing up random spots. There's not 800 like verified targets like for Hezbollah. That's a total joke. You know what I mean? They told everyone in Lebanon to evacuate. Then they bombed the road that people are evacuating on. How many times have we heard Israel do that? They do that in Palestine, did that in Lebanon in the 90s, the 80s, it's over and over. So there's no – Israelis don't – in Israel, it's just like kill them. You know, they don't care. There's no tact. So in Lebanon now, the public support has gone up for Hezbollah to pull out bigger missiles, shoot deeper, just hit random spots. And so that's what's going on right now. Israel – everyone in Israel is not happy, okay? They're constantly having to – flee into shelters in a panic, and they're posting videos online just wailing and screaming and crying. It's kind of funny, but it's sad at the same time, but they're really dramatic, okay? I'm not trying to be callous. They're wailing. Anyway, so not many of them have died, all right? Not many of them have died. Like 1,200 people got maimed or killed in Lebanon this morning.
Right.
And they don't post videos online wailing like that. So it's just, there's different. So you basically what I'm saying is the home front of Israel is really not going to be able to withstand what Hezbollah can unleash. Everybody knows that. So right now they're just trying to kill a bunch of Lebanese people, and they think that's going to, you know, change the situation. It's probably not. And Hezbollah, what they do next, really nobody knows, because to be honest with you, I think Hezbollah is going to turtle up. I think this is the time period to turtle up. And if Hezbollah can withstand these blows and keep firing rockets, they've basically forced Israel to invade, which is much better for Hezbollah. So right now it's in Hezbollah's interest to turn up the temperature on the indiscriminate rocket attacks. You know, sorry, Israelis. And then, force Israel to invade. And then Israel's only way to counter that is to invade with such a giant army that it overwhelms Hezbollah's ability to defend head-to-head. And then they're going to take a bunch of land really quickly, and then that'll force essentially Syria and Iran to jump in. America will jump in with a marine land invasion of Syria. America will not put troops in Lebanon. They're not stupid to do that. But Syria is like a failed state. Now, if America lands troops in Syria, that's basically the beginning of World War III right there, because Syria's security is protected by Russia. You can't do that. But they have tons of terrorist assets in Syria that are being trained and dormant to stab the resistance in the back to try to overthrow the Assad regime with the help of American invasion. They're not done trying to get rid of Assad. When they said Assad must go, they didn't give up on that. So they're just going to open up that file that the United States already has open. They're just going to keep it going and upgrade it, that the invasion and American focus will be on Syria. And then the American government has actually told Israel, we will not help you if you invade Lebanon. There's really not much public support anywhere for invading Lebanon. That's just Hezbollah forcing them to invade. It's like a trap. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and this is what is the sticking point for me, trying to like just, you know, game plan this out and war game this out, is like, what is Israel's tactic here? Like, what are they trying to achieve? I think obviously they are trying to bring in America. And I don't know if America is eager and on board with this because they want to start World War III and cancel the election.
Yeah, the only way – that's a great point. So the only way they can bring America in is not Lebanon. America will not help them destroy Lebanon or invade Lebanon, because America invests tons of money in Lebanon, and America has tons of partners in Lebanon. The biggest CIA base, the biggest state-of-the-art CIA base, that's a huge facility, like I don't know how many acres, it's in Lebanon. Lebanese government is like partnered with them. They work together. They're not even enemies. It's just Israel being belligerent. Lebanon's not even against America. So America is not – America funds everything in the Lebanese government. So America is not going to go to war with Lebanon. So the only way Israel can bring America in, they have to invade Syria, because America is at war with Syria. America is in a conflict with Syria, right? Because the Syrian oil fields are held by American soldiers right now, which is an act of war. They're there illegally. So it's not a problem for the United States to increase the dedication of assets to the overthrow of Assad. That wouldn't be a problem at all. That's an easy change. Actually, it's not a change in policy at all. It's not a change in policy. It's just a logistics difference. That's all. And so they have amphibious landing forces that will land on the coast of Syria. They're not. So in order for America to get involved, Israel has to invade and make a massive war with Syria and Lebanon, like, at the same time.
Okay, so yeah, I still have so many questions. So just the last few questions, because I got other callers on hold I want to get to. But Iran, how does Iran play into this? And just looking back at 2006 and seeing the way it played out and seeing how the opening salvo is similar to 2006, like, what happened in 2006 and how do you expect the current situation to differ from what happened in 2006? What's different about today than, you know, nearly 20 years ago?
Just the scale of destruction on both sides is bigger. Like, they can just bomb more, faster, more massacres. They can invade with a bigger army. Hezbollah has way, way more destructive capability. So the Israelis have not learned their lesson, because it's like tic-tac-toe. They're damned if they do, they're damned if they don't. And they're trying to get out of this hold. And the only way to get out of this hold is to bomb so much shit in Lebanon, so much stuff in Lebanon, that Hezbollah can't take it anymore and has to do something crazy, like try to invade Israel or something like that. So that's why Israel is going to bomb so crazy in Lebanon. They're doing that because Hezbollah has them over a barrel. There's no way out for them. If they don't bomb, the entire northern Israel is a ghost town. If they don't invade Lebanon, northern Israel is a ghost town. The buffer zone is being enforced upon northern Israel, not southern Lebanon. And so they have to change the status quo. So the status quo is bad for Israel right now with Lebanon. So in order to change it, they're trying to change it with bombing. Bombing will not work. Bombing does not make Lebanese people surrender, no matter how many massacres. So then they're going to have to invade. It's the same thing like in the past. It repeats over and over. As soon as they invade, it's a total shit show. Nobody thinks they can beat Hezbollah on the ground. Their only chance is they're going to put a bunch of reservists with no combat skills in a bunch of armored vehicles and just flood across the border with a huge quantity of armored vehicles. A bunch of them are going to fall into booby traps and die. And then they're going to keep swarming and try to just... And then Hezbollah will do, like, you know, a guerrilla war over time. And there's no way they're going to win. We've been down this road so many times. So fighting a guerrilla war against Hezbollah is the biggest suicide operation of a land army you can imagine, especially a reservist land army. What a total joke. They're going to take a huge amount of casualties. So this is not going to work. All they're going to do is just kill a bunch of Lebanese people and then get themselves killed. It's a really bad strategy.
Yeah, brutal. Absolutely brutal. Thank you very much for the update, John. And yeah, we'll keep up with everything happening. The bombs are flying. I know there's alarms in Haifa right now with a big missile barrage from Hezbollah targeted there. So keep us up to date and let us know if any developments come. Thank you very much, John. And you can follow Lebanon John on X at Lebanon_John, I think. Is that your Twitter account?
Yeah, Lebanon_John. Yeah, let's try to get the news out.
and it is just utter madness. Thank you very much, John. Let's go to Joe in Arkansas. A bit of a shift in topic, but Joe, you're on the air. Thanks for calling in from Arkansas.
Hey, Harrison. Thank you for taking my call. That's going to be a hard one to follow up on. But in this area that I live in north central Arkansas, which, you know, part of the Ozarks. And the last several weeks off Highway 65, there's been two different times that we have seen it. Saturday was the latest. Two groups of illegals, all of them men, walking Highway 65. They all had identical black bags. So, and on our way back, when we was coming back home Saturday, they were just like, Highway 65 is a pretty major highway through Arkansas. Pretty much goes all the way through the whole state, south to north. And so on our way back, they were basically just sitting in somebody's yard. Now, obviously, there was an easement because 65, you know, and power lines and all that. But, yeah, they were all just, like, sitting in somebody's yard. And, law enforcement around here, they don't do nothing. I mean, years ago, they would have probably stopped and questioned them, asked them where they're going, what they're doing. That same day, if that happened, they spent an hour and a half looking for somebody who went into a liquor store, bought a beer, poured it into a plastic cup, and walked out and was walking and drinking with the beer. And, you know, which is illegal. You know, half these counties around here are dry. So, so something like that.
Right. So they're going to waste police resources tracking down somebody drinking a beer where they're not approved to, while you've got just a literal invasion going, just military contingents wandering down your highway and camping on people's front lawns, and they go totally unmolested. It's just an invasion.
That's a true story.
Wow.
Yeah, that's a true story. Like an hour and a half, and it was like, you know, the radio's going back. Did you see them yet? You know, they finally caught them, but like, you know, it ain't like he went in there and stole it. But yeah, that's where their mindset is. You know, let's don't stop and question these people. You know, that are here illegally. You know, yeah, it's nuts. But hey, that's why we're where we're at.
Yeah, no, 100%. And I've seen a lot of stuff like that recently. There's a video that went viral last week of like a person on a scooter that was just like in a parking lot, sort of outrunning all these cops. And there's like three cop cars and a literal helicopter chasing this guy on a scooter, who literally just looks like he's goofing around. He's jumping curbs and riding down the sidewalk, and the cops are tearing after him, and helicopters in the air. Meanwhile, we're being invaded by people from a country who the Biden and Harris administration say don't go there because of the cannibalism and the sexual assault and the criminality that is completely endemic in that country. So they're bringing them here. And that'll be us soon enough. Thanks for the call, Joe. More calls on the other side as we break down this hell world being created for us. Thanks, globalists.
Nitric Boost. Turmeric 95. High quality CBD gummies. It's all available at InfoWarsStore.com via the InfoWars MD line. Now, this is a private label of one of the top supplement makers in the country of high-end quality at reasonable prices. They let us private label their products. That's why you've already heard of Body's Ultimate Turmeric Formula. Well, we got the 95% curcuminoid from them. This is just their brand of that. And so it is available under Turmeric 95. That's the name. So we're sold out of Bodies, but we have Turmeric 95 that is, again, the same concentrated turmeric. Same thing with Nitric Boost. Nitric Boost came from this company. They even let us use their name. It's now our best seller. We sold out of our version. Their version has a white bottle. It's the exact same thing. You get it at InfoWarsStore.com. So check out InfoWars MD at InfoWarsStore.com.
I'm a humble person, and I want to say that I'm just a man. But I'm not just a man. Just like you. No matter what color you are, whether you're a man or a woman, you were made by the creator of the universe who had a plan for you, who has a destiny for you. And that's why the system hates you and fears you, and that's why they hate me. It's because the spirit I carry is one of justice and truth and courage and honor and will and love. My friends, the enemy's coming after me, not because I'm a loser, but because I'm a winner. They're coming after you, not because you're a bad person, because you're a good person, because you love God and God loves you. And so I signed up for this. I signed up for this fight. And I'm not a victim. I'm an overcomer. But I can't fight this fight without you. And that's why I want you always to remember that I appreciate you and I thank you, because InfoWars is your fight. InfoWars is your baby. It's a thing you built. We did this together. So God bless you all. Let's keep fighting.
Finally, Vitamin Mineral Fusion is back in stock and now available for 25% off at InfoWarsStore.com. This specially formulated drink mix gives your body the essential vitamins, minerals, amino acids, and other beneficial compounds that support optimum health. Vitamin Mineral Fusion goes above and beyond the standard of vitamins and trace minerals. Our exclusive formula is loaded with 34 key ingredients, including vitamin C, E, D, B12, calcium, magnesium, zinc, selenium, L-glutamine, CoQ10, alpha-lipoic acid, folic acid riboflavin, and much more. Aside from bolstering your bodily functions, this drink mix is naturally delicious. And unlike capsules and vitamin pills, it's truly a pleasure to the taste buds. So if you haven't already, mix it up and take your health to the next level with Vitamin Mineral Fusion today. Now 25% off at InfoWarsStore.com.
Turmeric has been used as a medicine for thousands of years to treat digestive disorders, respiratory problems, arthritis, and depression. It has strong anti-cancer, anti-diabetic, antimicrobial, and antioxidant properties, and is one of the most effective anti-inflammatory medications available. The powerful Bodies formula at InfoWarsStore.com includes 95% curcuminoids, Boswellia serrata extract, organic sage leaf, organic lemon balm leaf, organic thyme leaf, and piperine from black pepper. Bodies is arguably the best turmeric formula available. Get it now. Support free speech and support the InfoWar at InfoWarsStore.com.
InfoWars.com is tomorrow's news today.
You're listening to The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at band.video.
All right, welcome back, folks. More calls to go to here. Let's go to Baker in California. Where do you see this Israel-Lebanon conflict going, Baker? You're on the air.
Well, I think Lebanon John, like, explained it pretty much the best that anyone could, and I think he knows more than I do about that. But I will say this, is that that whole invasion in Syria, I think that is the key, because we got to remember that when President Trump was in office, people like John Bolton were like chomping at the bit to invade Iraq and Syria to fight ISIS. And, you know, what's so key about what Trump did is that Trump identified the leaders that we know about and he killed them directly, which totally cut off the networks. And our government doesn't want to do that. The war industrial complex doesn't want to cut the head off the snake. They just want to continue these conflicts and perpetuate them, right? So like when, you know, when Trump tells that story about the Taliban leader and he's like shows a picture of his house and he's like, dude, I'll kill you. Like all of the warmongers like hate that because they don't want to directly cut off these networks. They want to continue fighting them. Right. And so, right. And so, dude, and I kind of want to, this is kind of, it's related to this, but, you know, that Trump assassin guy, how he was trying to recruit Afghanis, to fight in Ukraine.
Yeah.
Well, where do they train them? In Pakistan. And where has the CIA been running networks since the 70s? In Pakistan. Where did we train the Mujahideen? Pakistan. Where did ISIS, where's ISIS-K? Pakistan. So the CIA, ISIS, and that dude, there's some relation to that, man. And I hope something comes out about that because that, I mean, that is like, how could they let that guy get caught? Because now it's obvious the CIA is trying to kill Trump. You know what I mean? Like,
right. Well, and we've seen Ukrainian commanders on video with the ISIS patch, like dudes that fought for ISIS were commanders in ISIS were then moved to Ukraine to train the Ukrainians because they're all CIA, because it's all a giant CIA operation. You are exactly right, Baker. Thanks so much for the call. Let's go to John in Ontario now. John, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hey, Harrison, and all the info warriors out there. Glad to be online here. So I wanted to talk about the Japanese concept of the Sasuke, which is the idea of the final form. And if you've ever, you know, watched anime or played Japanese video games, you probably have come across this. It's basically the idea that when your enemy is defeated, they change. Into the embodiment of this, like whatever the evil that it is they're following, like a demonic thing, and they become this unbeatable, invincible force. And I think that's what we're seeing in terms of the New World Order. It's been defeated, and it's going to change into this thing that it cannot come back from. So the strategy for us, I think, is changing, where it's like we can't defeat, but we can outlast. And that's sort of the message I wanted to get out there.
You said we can't defeat, but we can outlast?
Yeah, it's sort of like this final form is invincible. It's sort of like it's a temporary thing. It's like all, you know, it's like Bane. It's all jacked up on all these drugs and everything. And it's not going to be able to survive the injection that it's taken. But in destroying itself, it's going to try and bait us into a fight. And it's similar to what's happening in the Middle East right now. There's this total baiting. And it's like, let's bait everybody into a world war. But I think that the best idea for, at least for myself, is I'm just going to try and avoid this whole thing because I don't see any resolution here. Like, I don't see a solution.
Yeah, I mean, the biggest issue for me is the technology they have and the AI that they have, because I would agree that, you know, it's almost like we've moved past revelation. Like, we've moved past the time period where all of these lies need to be exposed. Like, they're all exposed now. Now we need to move against it. Now we need action actually dismantling the programs. The problem is that the people who run the AI that surveils everybody and is constantly collating and you know, algorithmically sorting everyone and their reactions, they know to a very minute detail like how far they can push things before pushback comes and is devastating to them. So they're progressing their agenda by pushing it right up to the line where they get major pushback, but not enough, not going so far that they're actually in danger, but far enough. The riots in the UK is a great example, right? They didn't push things so far that everybody in the UK rose up and overthrew their government and started a civil war and started actual fights in the street. Like, that would be something they couldn't contain and would be really bad for them. They didn't let it get there. They let it get so far that the sort of fringe people, the people in the most extreme, at least took to the streets. They at least went out and tried to do something, and then they just round them up and imprison them all. And then the next round will be even more oppressive, will be even more insane. And, you know, the people that didn't get involved in the first time are going to be so cowed that they're not going to get involved in the second time. So it's this, the algorithmic ability for them to surveil and to test, you know, inputs and say, okay, if we do this, how are people going to react? If we do this, how are people going to react? And then choosing their path of least resistance that way, I think is very dangerous and could potentially go on forever. It's up to us to short circuit their algorithm, to do things that are unexpected or unaccounted for that they can't manipulate and manage and control. And it's possible. I think we can do it, but we have to recognize it and then make a conscious effort to do this. It's not just going to happen naturally or by accident, I don't think. Thanks so much for the call, John. Let's go to Dave in Arizona. You have a Bible verse you want to share with us. Go ahead, Dave. You're on the air.
Yeah, thanks so much, Mr. Harrison. And amazing calls all morning this morning. As you know, we're already in World War III, but I hope that President Trump, he's anointed by the Lord, can bring us through this. So Exodus 21:6 today out of New King James. Then his master shall bring him to the judges. He shall also bring him to the door or to the doorpost. And his master shall pierce his ear with an awl. And he shall serve him forever. So that's analogous to July 13th for me, sir. After the slave has served 6 years, he's free to leave. Now, if he had a wife when he came in, he takes his wife with him. If the master has given him a wife and given him kids, the wife and the kids shall stay. So the slave has a difficult choice. Mm. Do I stay with the master? Because my wife and my kids are there, because I love the master, I love my wife, I love my kids, and if so, you serve that master forever. So as we went to Pastor Jerome's service last night, Jesse and I, and met some friends there, Kathy, RJ couldn't be there, he spoke of this, and this is, I think, the anointing of President Trump.
Hmm. Very interesting.
So it's Exodus 21:6 there.
Very interesting. Yeah, that's an interesting choice. Thank you very much for that, Dave. I don't know if I have anything to add to that, but certainly something to think about. Thank you for that. Let's go to Alex in Nevada now. Go ahead, Alex. You're on the air.
Hey, Harrison. You know, you are in the top 10. I think you're running neck and neck with Owen. And, of course, Alex Jones is top of the dog.
Amen.
You know, hey, is Chase there anywhere? Is Chase there anywhere? Chase, do you hear me? I'm doing my best to send all my friends and family to InfoWarsStore.com so I can get you that pay bump. Yeah, I hope you're going to get it before InfoWars might be shut down. So look, you know, this thing in Israel, it's not really Israel, not as I can see it. Israel. Ancient Israel took a big chunk all the way up through Turkey, all across Iraq, down to a big chunk out of Iran. You go southward, it eats up everything and takes a chunk out of Egypt. And so what you've got over there calling themselves Israel is a bunch of little Jews and actually the Benjamites. So there are 10 tribes who are lost. But there are two. They're kind of like still hanging out, the Jews and the Benjamites. And what's really kind of comical about it is you have Benjamin Netanyahu running the show over there. And it's kind of like a namesake thing. So you really have Benjamites running the show. And so, look, the little nation of Israel, as they call themselves now, they're really going to get their arse handed to them real soon. And you know, it's in prophecy. If anybody really tails into prophecy hard, you'll see that they're going to get their arse handed to them real soon. And as far as the United States goes, we are mostly of the tribe of Ephraim. And so we support them no matter what. And it's kind of a convoluted thing. And it's, you know, something that it would take me hours to describe it all. But I'm not going to go into biblical bull on all that. The thing that's going to happen, and you can put it on your calendar, they're going to get their arse handed to them real soon. And you can pretty much bet that the United States is going to suffer a little bit. I would suggest that maybe over the next 4 years or less, New York City and Washington, D.C. are going to be bereft of people. You know, the buildings will still be there. And prophecy states that, well, the buildings will be perfectly fine. They'll be all great, but there won't be any life in New York or Washington, D.C. And so that's kind of some really high up stuff. And so, hey, Chase, I'm working for you. I'm doing all I can to get all of my people to go to InfoWarsStore.com.
Well, thank you. Yeah. And look, I don't know, because, again, I just go back to the algorithms that they have, the fact that Israel has nuclear bombs. I don't know how easy it's going to be to hand their butts to them, but we shall see. We shall see. All of this, of course, is just guesswork at this point. We'll see how it plays out, but I don't know how this can go on that much longer. We'll go now to William in Arkansas. Thank you for the call, Alex. William in Arkansas, you are on the air about Haiti. Now, the latest from Haiti, the headline today is that the Biden-Harris admin warns Americans, do not travel to Haiti due to risk of kidnapping, sexual assault, and murder. So the same country that we are importing hundreds of thousands of people from in giant blocks that are all getting temporary status that is meant to be made permanent. Apparently you shouldn't go there because they'll kill you if you do. But we'll bring them here, and then they'll be, you know, just as American as apple pie. William, what's your take on this?
Convoluted. I went to Haiti after the earthquake during June, right after that, and certainly it has changed. I saw a difference in morality there. I had the streets open to me, in a sense. Too much to discuss in such a short period of time. We cannot fathom the lack of structure that's down there because we live in a structured environment. I don't justify bringing them folks here. We're doing them an injustice just as much as we are our own self. It's like, you know, and it's not just from Haiti. It's from anywhere that an outside culture is thrust into our culture, and they've been given a few fiat currency dollars and said, you know, you're welcome. You know, it's unreal what's going on. You know, for once, I have to agree with Miss Hillary Clinton that, you know, what do you do when the other political party won't listen, won't, you know, won't sit down to look at the facts? They're always dodging the facts. And that's not our side. That's not, you know, Trump's side. That's not the conservative side. I'm not a party person. I can't stand either party. You look at both parties when they were formed, and 15 years later, you got the American Civil War. It's about to be the same thing, formed by the same people. I think they're going to do something to steal this election or prohibit an election or you know. Hope to God they don't, you know, accidentally or on purpose, whatever. It seems like they can't get the job done. Terminate Trump. It's going to cause a civil war. I wouldn't be a cop in this nation for nothing right now. We expect the law officers. We're always pointing at somebody else. Well, the Second Amendment was not created for somebody else. It was created for a situation like we have where everything's just totally chaos. It's just totally unrecognizable. Every county out there's got, what, a handful of cops? And if something really goes ballistic, everybody's going to get on their phone and call the 20 law officers in their community. Well, what the hell is 20 guys, 30 guys going to do, you know, against a organized crime syndicate? You know, take example, the county officers or the city officers there in Aurora. You think that 20 officers, 30, 40, 50 officers, you think they're going to go in and be able to actually combat, fight? You know what the press would do with those guys? All of them aren't trained to do that. You see some of the women that they send in there, and some of the men aren't trained. You know, big donut eaters, you know, been sitting around eating donuts, you know, can't run, but they're sitting there as law officers. I'm not degrading them, but you better get in shape. The physical requirements of a cop should be the same as an infantry soldier, you know?
You're pointing to the biggest frustration in all of this, which is the fact that, you know, we could solve it. If it was just anarchy, it wouldn't even be that big of an issue, right? If there was no authority, it really wouldn't be that big of a problem for Americans to take care of this stuff. The problem is that we have delegated all of our physical force to this group that has now decided we're not worth protecting. Yet, if we try to protect ourselves, they'll come after us with everything they've got. So we're actively being prevented from taking measures to protect ourselves or our neighborhoods or our children, while the criminals are being literally imported by the hundreds of thousands. And I don't know what was going on last night in Philadelphia, but just to emphasize your point, William, about being a cop these days, there are some scenes of rioting. Again, I don't know, was there a sports game last night, or was it just another Sunday night in the dystopian hell world of America as it descends into third world nation status? Let's go to some of these videos. Filmed last night, a police cruiser being attacked by a horde of youths, of young gentlemen. There's the police car attempting to drive through the crowd as it gets totally swarmed. We're talking about, you know, Night of the Living Dead style zombie apocalypse happening on the streets of Philadelphia. God only knows why. Here's another drone shot of either the same or a similar event. Again, it doesn't even look like they're mad. Just, this is just a good time. Is this Joker 2? Is this what we're watching? Are we living in a Marvel movie? A DC movie? So, yeah, who knows? I mean, I guess this is America. This is America now. This is America 2024, just like the founders intended. Just hordes of foreigners attacking police in the city where the Declaration of Independence was signed. Really makes you think, doesn't it? Just wild. And there's more videos where you can see these cops just trying desperately to maintain order. A legal car meetup leads to violence across Philadelphia. One officer injured in crash. So, okay, so it's just for a good time. Just your after school activities then. It is utter madness. It is utter and complete madness. And of course, all of this is coming from the top down, right? It's all of this culture is being set by the people in power who will justify any criminal activity, who act like following rules is white supremacy, obeying the law is some subtle act of racism. To trick the black people somehow is just like, no, you just follow the law. Like, what is hard about this? When you talk about Haiti, William in Arkansas said, people don't understand the level of dysfunction. I know about it. I don't even understand it. There's a city of 300,000 people in Haiti. They have no electricity. They have no schools. They have no hospitals. How does that work? How does that even work? I mean, 300,000 people living in a geographic area with no infrastructure, no education, no hospitals. eating dirt. They're just eating dirt and cats. Like, you think that it's not possible. You think, like, well, somehow the American system is just so strong that it forces everybody to be a great, responsible genius and to follow the rules. Like, no, folks. Look at South Africa. What's happened to South Africa? What's happened to Rhodesia, which became Zimbabwe, is going to happen worldwide. The only problem is what happened in Zimbabwe is they begged for all the white farmers to come back because they were starving. What happens when there's nobody to come back? What happens when the genocide is total and the replacement migration is complete and all of the capable people who built a functional society are all subsumed under the tide of just barbarism and savagery? Who do you turn to then? And there's actually, in Zimbabwe, there's been a massacre of 200 elephants. The government has approved the killing of 200 elephants, which are to be distributed to hunger-stricken Zimbabwe families. These are landowners, hardworking, educated people who can't do anything with their land. These educated people can't even produce food for themselves. So apparently they're eating the elephants now. So it's kind of like, you know, it's not just for the good of America or the good of Europe or like for white people that like this has to stop. Like once the civilizations that we've built come crumbling down, like that's it. It just descends into total, absolute, irreversible destruction forever. So yeah, maybe we need to get a handle on this before everything is lost. I want to go to one more video. I don't know if we'll have time to get to all of it, but it's Megyn Kelly, and she just did a fantastic job. We're not gonna have time to go to it. Darn it! And this is the last segment of the show. I'm getting thrown off, folks. I apologize. I'll have to show it to you tomorrow. Or maybe Alex will show it on his show. Or I don't know who's guest hosting Alex. I think it's a guest host. I know Mike Adams is on Alex Jones tomorrow with some huge breaking news. You're definitely going to want to tune in for that. You're obviously going to want to stay tuned for Alex Jones. But the reason I'm a little bit out of sorts here is this is just, I think, the second day that we've done this show with only two commercial breaks per hour. One of those is 60 seconds. So for an entire hour, you're getting nothing but teleprompter-free, brand-new content. We have a four-minute break in the middle of the hour and a one-minute break after the first five, and that's it. So for everybody who's complained about commercial breaks on InfoWars, we have eliminated more than half of our commercial breaks in any single hour. Please don't make us regret that. Please go to InfoWarsStore.com. You've asked, we've answered, you've said there are too many commercial breaks. We've gone from, what, 15 minutes an hour of commercial breaks to five. So don't make us regret that. If anything, I would hope we would be rewarded for this by you going to InfoWarsStore.com. Make sure that we can remain with a minimum amount of commercials. Make sure that we don't have to go back to breaking up our coverage every couple of minutes. Make sure to go to InfoWarsStore.com. Keep us on the air. Keep us in the fight. Keep yourself healthy with Vitamin Mineral Fusion. All of the vitamins and minerals you need for all day in a delicious fruit drink mix at InfoWarsStore.com. Get yourself something that you will appreciate and will improve your life noticeably, like Nitric Boost or Vitamin Mineral Fusion. Keep us on the air. Keep us commercial free at InfoWarsStore.com. Stay tuned for the Alex Jones Show. Begins in 90 seconds. Don't go anywhere, folks.
Supplements are the second fastest growing industry in America over the last few decades. AI has now outstripped it. And that's because people continue to learn how amazing the compounds are that Mother Nature gives us. Now, ladies and gentlemen, not all supplements are created equal. InfoWars MD line, more than 15 products, are all the very best you're going to find at extremely low prices. Take our CBD oil, gummies, and 1,000 milligram tincture. We private label from a top company. They sell it retail for double what we sell it for. Does that give you an idea how amazing these products are and how low the prices are? Just get InfoWars MD CBD Test it out, see how great it is, and then I know you're going to want the other products like our ashwagandha, like our super green food, like our 95% curcuminoid, turmeric 95. They're all available under the InfoWars MD line at InfoWarsStore.com. Thank you for your support. This keeps us on air. Plus, these are game-changing products. Get yours today.
The InfoWars system is very simple. We tell you the truth about what's going on in the world, and we ask that you support us in exchange. If we don't tell you the truth, you probably won't support us. That's our only incentive. All we have is you, the InfoWars audience. And just like our information has to be good, or else we can't expect your support, well, our products have to be good, or we can't expect you to be returning customers. And everybody knows some of the bombshell, incredible, iconic supplements at InfoWarsStore.com. But what some InfoWars audience members don't know about is the InfoWars MD line of supplements. This is our premium line of supplements, and there's something for everybody here. This is the newest line of supplements from InfoWars designed to boost vitality and enhance overall well-being, available exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. Whether you're looking to support immune health, improve cognitive function, or increase energy levels, our meticulously crafted formulations cater to your diverse needs. Only at InfoWarsStore.com.
You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.